compadre G, it's me, your old skiffozo, BB Nabozo. With an offer you can't refuse, we're gonna bring you a complete collection of the White House basement tapes, courtesy of the Republican Party. What a party! Ha ha! You're gonna get all the greatest themes of the Nixon years, including this classic hit.
One other thing I probably should tell you, because if I don't, they'll probably be saying this about me too. We did get something, a gift, after the election. A man down in Texas heard Pat on the radio mention the fact that she doesn't have a mink coat. And believe it or not, the day before we left on this campaign trip, we got a message from the Union Station in Baltimore saying they had a package for us. We went down to get it. You know what it was? It was a little, just a little less than $10,000. Every cent of that, incidentally, was in government bonds. And I just want to say this right now, that regardless of what they say about it, we're going to keep it.
Yes, corporations have been coming to Dick Nixon for years, and that's why they pick an old Nixon bagman like me. But listen, hey, Paisan, you said now you're also going to get this beautiful speech.
When I was inaugurated for a second term this past January 20th, I gave each member of my cabinet and each member of my senior White House staff a special four-year calendar with each day marked to show the number of days remaining to the administration. In the script...
Programs regularly scheduled for this time have been canceled in order to bring you taped highlights of today's Impeachment Day ceremonies. Here, live on tape from Washington, D.C., are our commentators, Wallace Gladstone and Barbara Merkin.
It's a perfect day for impeachment activities here in our nation's capital, where together with dozens and dozens of our fellow Americans, Barbara and I are on hand for this history-making event. What do you say, Barbara?
Well, it certainly is, Wallace. The skies are gray and overcast, the trees are bare, and the birds are wheezing.
Thank you. That'll be all, Barbara. And, of course, there is a slight drizzle falling here on Pennsylvania Avenue, but as someone remarked earlier, a few more drips won't even be noticed in this town. Isn't that right, Barbara?
Yes, Wallace, it certainly is.
Okay, thank you again, Barbara. And, of course, I see the Impeachment Day parade is getting underway now. And, yes, with the march past of the states. And here they come now, and some of these floats certainly are breathtaking, aren't they? Here's Alabama. And now there's a most unusual one, wouldn't you say, Barbara?
Yes, Wallace. It looks like an enormous pile of broken machinery that seems to be backfiring from time to time.
Right you are, Barbara. And, of course, that's the Southern Strategy float. And now here comes Alaska with what looks like... Well, now, how would you describe it, Barbara?
Well, it
seems to be a gigantic oil sludge with, yes, I think those are dead caribou scattered around in it.
Certainly one of the most expensive floats in this parade and quite a personal tribute to Mr. Nixon.
As the states continue to pass by and review, I notice that Massachusetts seems to be... Well, it seems to be out of step.
No, Wallace. I think if you look closely, you'll see that all the other states are out of step. Massachusetts seems to be marching to a different drummer.
Okay, very clever, Barb.
Is it so? What?
Final touch, Grandma.
Ecological meeting with many of the pay...
24 hours a day.
Look, boys and girls, it's Big Dick. What are we going to do on Pennsylvania Avenue today?
Well, we're going to learn the difference between lying and misspeaking yourself, falsehoods and inoperative statements, taking responsibility and taking the blame, and withholding evidence and protecting the presidency.
Today's episode is brought to you by the number 9. There are 9 key tapes in the basement of the White House. Can you count them?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
Hello, Shredder Monster.
I want tapes.
Okay, Shredder Monster, here you are.
Now, there are only 7 key tapes in the basement of the White House. What happened to the other 2?
You see, there were only 7 to start with. I only saw 7.
Where did the other 2 tapes go?
Oh, there were no other tapes. The tape recorder didn't work. The tape recorder didn't work.
I want more tapes.
Okay. Uh-oh. Here comes Irvin the Frog. Get lost, Rattamonster. Hurry up.
I want more tapes.
No, later, later. Quick, hide under here. Come on.
How about a memo or two?
No, not now.
Oh, just a little piece of evidence, that's all. Just a little piece.
No, come on now. Just get under here. God damn it. Hurry up.
Hello, Big Dick.
Hello, Irvin. Long time no see. What brings you to Pennsylvania Avenue?
I'm looking for the 9 tapes.
Oh, there aren't 9 tapes, Urban. There are only 7 tapes. You can count them, Frog Face.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7.
What happened to the 2 missing tapes?
7 plus 2 is 9.
What was that noise?
Excuse me, I must have ate lunch.
Look, here comes Sir Rick of the Grouch.
Hello, Big Dick. Hello, Irvin.
Oh, hello. Hello, Sirica. How are you? Well, it's certainly nice to see you, Sirica. What can I do for you?
I'm coming to hear the 9 tapes.
I'm sorry, Sirica, but there are only 7.
7 from 9 is 2.
That means 2 are missing.
No, you see, there were never any more than 7.
Oh, but Big Dick, yesterday you told me there were 9 tapes. Now you say there's 7. That means you're lying.
Lying. Lying. Big Dick is lying.
Sirica, my previous statement that there were 9 tapes is inoperative. I misspoke myself.
Inoperative. 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 The statement is inoperative.
Big Dick, you are withholding evidence.
No, Irvin, I'm protecting the presidency.
Tapes, I want more tapes.
That sounded like the Shredder Monster.
I didn't hear anything.
Big Dick, you're full of shit.
Shit. Shit. Big Dick is full of shit.
Whitens, too.
In other news, federal narcotics agents today raided a house near the university where they arrested 3 men and seized 2 ounces of marijuana with a street value of $35,000.
Hi there. I'm Mrs. Hunt. I've come to fix things up. Where's the drop?
Jeez, a lady plumber. What'll Kalmbach think of next? Hey, what's in your bag?
It's new green money, laundered in Mexico. It'll help keep even these old Washington things from leaking.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's wrong with my brand of lettuce? It looks good enough to me.
Well, let's have a look. Ring around the dollar, ring around the dollar.
Holy Maloney, my money's dirty.
It sure is. You see, Tony, many kinds of improperly laundered funds leave embarrassing telltale traces in bank records and can cause permanent stains on reputations.
No kidding.
But Mexican funds with secret ingredients ITT keep the White House clean while they prevent the dirt from getting out.
Wow.
All it takes is just a few $100,000 a month, and you can cover up even the worst mess. And thanks to its illegal political action, Mexican money goes to work where it counts, removing all evidence of crime, greased palms, and dirty tricks in those hard-to-get-at high places.
Boy, that Mex cabbage sure sounds terrific.
Use laundered Mexican money. It really pays off.
And with the Wyoming float, the pass-by of the states seems to be winding up.
Nope, there seems to be some activity up the house now, Wallace. The door is opening.
Yes, the door is opening, and... Oh, I can't stand it. Oh, my God.
There, Wallace. Ladies and gentlemen, there can't be a dry eye in America at this moment, as the presidential tape console is being wheeled ceremoniously out the door by 6 Secret Service men...
It's not that, Barbara. It's the sight of little Julie Eisenhower bravely saluting as her daddy.
Oh, cool it, Wallace.
Come on and wake up. Come on and wake up now. It's time to shake a leg and get up. It's time for you to raise your head up. Come on and wake up. Come on and wake up, now you know it's time. Come on and, come on and, come on and, come on and, come on and wake up now.
I was writing.
When you ride your bicycle, be sure to ring your bell. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, always ring your bell.
someone may be walking by and not see you so well. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, always ring your bell. Don't ride faster than you should, never leave your neighborhood.
Never take a passenger aboard.
Be sure to stay on the right, and be sure to hold on tight.
Please make sure these rules are not ignored.
When you ride your bicycle, be sure to ring your bell. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, always ring your bell. Someone may be walking by and not see you so well. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, always ring your ting-a-ling, always ring your bell.
Don't ride faster than you should.
Never leave your neighborhood.
Never take a passenger aboard.
Be sure to stay on the right, and be sure to hold on tight. Please make sure these rules are not ignored. When you ride your bicycle, be sure to ring your bell. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, always ring your bell. Someone may be walking by and not see you so well. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, always ring your ting-a-ling, always ring your bell.
You can make believe it happens, or pretend that something's true. You can wish or hope or contemplate a thing you'd like to do. But until you start to do it, you will never see it through. 'Cause the make-believe pretending just won't do it for you. You've got to do it. Every little bit, you've got to do it. Do it, do it, do it, and when you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it, you did it, you did it. If you want to ride a bicycle and ride it straight and tall, you can't simply sit and look at it, 'cause it won't move at all. But it's you who have to try it, and it's you who have to fall. Sometimes, if you want to ride a bicycle and ride it straight and tall, you've got to do it. Every little bit, you've got to do it. Do it, do it, do it, and when you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it, you did it, you did it. It's not easy to keep trying, but it's one good way to grow. It's not easy to keep learning, but I know that this is so. When you've tried and learned, you're bigger than you were a day ago. It's not easy to keep trying, but it's one way to grow. You've got to do it. Every little bit, you've got to do it. Do it, do it, do it, then when you're through, you can know who did it, for you did it, you did it, you did it. I think you've grown since yesterday.
I like to ride on my bike. Makes me feel so free. When I hold the handlebars, the world belongs to me. Oh, I like to ride on a bike, feel the breezes blow. I find traffic rules everywhere I go. My arm goes up when I turn to the right and I stop. It goes straight out when I turn to the left, exactly like my pop when he's driving. I like to ride it on my bike. It's easy as can be. I follow the traffic rule and my daddy is proud of me. I always ride near the curb on the right. Stop when the sign says stop. I walk my bike across the busy streets exactly like my pop when he was my age. I like to ride on my bike. It's easy as can be. I follow the traffic rule and my daddy is proud of me.
Theory of evolution that refutes the Bible.
I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It seems so unbelievable, and yet they're saying it's true. They're teaching us about it in school now. Humans were monkeys once too. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Although it's so ridiculous, they're teaching us now that it's true. The teachers that came from a monkey would be better off in a zoo. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It seems so much more believable, and surely, surely it's true. The God made man in his image, no monkey story will do. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. This monkey business has to go, because it just isn't true. It's such a disgrace to the monkey, a disgrace to the human race too. Whoa, I'm no kin to the monkey, no, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Mine didn't swing from a tree. Mine didn't swing from a tree.
Hey. It seems so unbelievable, and yet they say that it's true. They're teaching our children in school now that humans were monkeys once too. I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Although it's so ridiculous, they teach them now it is true. The teachers that came from a monkey would be better off in the zoo. I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It's so much more believable, and surely, surely it's true, that God made man in his image, no monkey story will do. I'm no kin to the monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree.
big business has to go, because it just isn't true. It's such a disgrace to the monkey, disgrace to the human race too. I'm no kin to the monkey, the monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree.
Call in us home. see. There we go.
There we go.
Hey there, folks. Cosmic Cowboy here on the WFMU special RNC web stream. I'm ashamed that I played so much music, but if you listen to my regular Friday night show, you'll know that I rarely can not play an hour of music at the beginning of my show. So those of you who are familiar with my show on Friday nights will know that I've playing only a half hour of music at the beginning of the show is actually a tremendous effort. Let me tell you what we heard. I did intend this show to be a lot like, I don't know how many of you heard the Sunday broadcast I did this past Sunday. Now, I mean, I knew that there wouldn't be a ton of callers, but I actually, I have a friend who's volunteering for the National Lawyers Guild down on Center Street as a greeter, kind of greeting the protesters as they're finally released from the Center Street facility, shall we say. And I think we're going to check in with her in a little while. Okay, I better tell you what we heard. That's why I should have gone on mic to begin with. Okay, we heard Elephant Shake. That was the track we just heard from a record called Hannibal Brooks, the original motion picture score. Before that, the Heavenbound Singers, we heard two from them. We heard He Saved My Soul right there. And before that, we heard a longtime favorite of mine, Oh Buddha. And yeah. Okay, a couple more. Before that, we heard the Hal Webb team doing the Monkey song, I'm No Kin to the Monkey. Before that, we heard the classic version. Ronald, what is it? Robin and Crystal Bernard at their very best. From a record by Jerry Falwell, a Jerry Falwell record called Feudin', Fussin', and Frettin', but also featuring Robin and Crystal Bernard singing the Monkey song. Oh no, no wonder I knew the ecumenical movement. They do two tracks from the Hal Webb team record. What am I thinking? I'm glad to say that I was, when I bought this copy of this Jerry Falwell record with the Monkey song on it, I was with my mom, and we were at this thrift shop, and she's looking around, you know, poking at stuff, and I'm looking through the records, of course, and we get back out to the, I buy some, we get back out to the car, and I pull this out, and I go, wow, I'm so, I can't believe I found a copy of this. This has the Monkey song on it. And so I sing some of it for her, and she cracks up, and it was a nice family moment. I don't know, the sort of a freakish outsider family that does not believe in God. Oh, sorry. Okay, we're back to the beginning of the God songs. I think I should point out right there that I was at Tavern on the Green today to heckle the delegates as they departed the Life of the Party party, which is more like the life, the right to life of the party party. It was hosted by Phyllis Schlafly and attended by Ann Coulter, among others. Actually, whoever that wicked 2003 Miss America is, who's all over the place talking about how much she values life. So yeah, I was up there heckling those folks today. It was really, really great, and I'll talk about it more later. But I just wanted, that's kind of what the our God is better than their God, and only our God counts. Little bit of a set there. Okay, before that, some bicycle songs. We heard I Like to Ride My Bike by Dora Hall from a record called Imagine That. Before that, we heard You've Got to Do It, which is sort of a motivational thing and a kind of a call to action, no doubt, from Mr. Rogers. And the first thing that he mentions doing is riding a bike. So there he was. Before that, we heard When You Ride Your Bicycle from Songs of Health, Friendship, and Manners and Safety on the My First Golden Record Library label. for that. Come on and wake up from Mr. Rogers. And that's what I'd have to say to everybody, you know, wake up. I'll get you more information later on Drive the Vote, but you should think if there's a, do you know folks, maybe you've got family in a swing state and it would be possible for you to vote there without doing anything really particularly complicated. I think that's probably worth thinking about. In fact, my father, who's not that long ago deceased, lived in Florida, and I'm pretty sure that I can vote down there, and I'm going to see what I can do about that. But I'm also going to look into Pennsylvania. So I think that's really, like, you know, for New Yorkers and New Jersey folks, I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of complicated, obviously, but I think that that's... a way that you can really think about tangibly affecting the elections is to try and get your ass registered in a swing state. And we started things off with the missing White House tapes from National Lampoon record of the same name, Cleverly. And Cleverly, with the sides titled Side 1 is Side 2 and Side 2 is Side 1, and it's clearly intentional, and I forgot to get that across to Ken, so he queued up, hey, Side 1, which is Side 2, and that's why I walked in the studio and flipped that baby over and started the show over, however long it was after it began. I'm the Cosmic Cowboy. For the purposes of this show, I am also Jason Engel. That's kind of a special thing, part of the RNC programming. I'll talk a little bit about today. My ace correspondent from the other day in the studio, he's roaming around at the moment, but I believe Todd N is going to be on mic with us in the studio tonight, which is pretty cool. I went into the city. I mean, I guess I never even got, I skipped right past those bicycle songs and assumed that it was really obvious, but for anyone who wasn't tuned in on Sunday, it might not be at all. In fact, I was one of the unfortunates who was on the critical mass bike ride on Friday night who was arrested with about 150 other people who were hemmed into a block of West 35th Street and then slowly over the course of hours arrested and taken down to the now infamous Pier Detention Center with the chain link and razor wire fence pens and, you know, all the grease and all the other bad stuff that's going on down there. But of course, that's now made it something of a location to go and check out. You know, if you have any inclination to protest, don't know where to go, I think you can probably just head to the west end of 15th Street and there will be a nice little pen there and there will probably be, you can hang out and there will be buses coming out of the pier across the street, which is a detention center. More than likely, I don't know, I'm not really sure how many people are in there, and I didn't seem like today was a big arrest day, but I think they had a pretty huge backlog as of this morning, and I think that there's a pretty good shot that there will be buses, you know, kind of armored-style buses shooting out of there. And, you know, you can go on down, and you can clap, and you can tell the folks, you can wave, and you can say, good for you. You can do whatever you think you might want to say to support someone who's been protesting and unjustly, or more than likely, unjustly arrested. Headphones, if you want, you'll be able to hear at least. In any case, so in fact, I took the PATH train over from to the city from the station here this morning, and so I got to the World Trade Center and I walked up the West Side Highway, and in fact, like, I walked up whatever Church to Chambers, and as I was walking across Chambers Street, you know, having been in the city all of 5 minutes, along came one of these jail buses with a cop behind and a cop afore, and they had their lights flashing and their sirens going. And I stood on the sidewalk and I clapped and I jumped up and down and waved, and it really made me feel great, honestly. Made me feel terrific, especially like not being in the place that I was supposed to be doing that. You know, I think that might be particularly heartening to the folks in the buses. So if you find yourself in Lower Manhattan, you might want to, you know, cheer the jail buses as they go by. They're protesters, I promise. So I made my way up to the little protester pen that's at the end of 15th Street that's across from the detention center. You can't really get anywhere near the detention center because it's like on the west side of the West Side Highway, and they have the whole sidewalk just completely, you know, chain-linked off, and there's about a zillion cops around there making sure that nothing terrible happens. There's no, like, charging the gates and releasing the prisoners going on at the end of 15th Street. So there's about a zillion cops. So I made my way into the pen. And it wasn't, you know, it was okay. It wasn't particularly spirited, honestly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to sound like a fair-weather protester. I'm pretty, like, I have pretty strong beliefs, but at the same time, I actually kind of expect a protest to be fun. I don't know. Maybe that's immature, or maybe it's old-fashioned to me. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I really do like to have a good time when I'm protesting, and I think that that's one of the things that differentiates what I would love to think that the left is from the right. You know, like, conservative people, they don't have as much fun. So yeah. So I get to the pen, and I'm looking over at the detention center, and there's, like, really, like, the cops are kind of serious around there, like, more so than I've seen anywhere else. Well, had seen anywhere else up until that point. And there's like 100 cops around this pen, and like the ones at the end facing the detention center are kind of standing cross-armed and looking incredibly stern. And I was thinking, you know, I want to go up there and stare at them and give them a good scowl for a while. Like, I don't know, you know, a while, long as I like. I was thinking a while. And I go up there, and as soon as I, like, prop my elbows down on the barricade and start scowling, but this guy comes up behind me and starts strumming his guitar and singing a stupid protest song. And it really, like, it was just like, it was unbearable. He spoiled my moment so badly that, you know, that was something of a theme today, that as much as I would love the protest movement to be inclusive, there were some folks there who I thought were, like, badly misrepresentative, and they were kind of bugging me. So right after this guy strummed his idiotic song, some girl starts singing the Star Spangled Banner at the top of her lungs, and she just could not sing at all, and she was just screaming the Star Spangled Banner. And I didn't leave. to my tremendous, I think I'm patting myself on the back. If you can't tell, I'm patting myself on the back. I hung in there, and the strummer went away, and the screaming girl screaming the Star Spangled Banner, she went away too. And it turned out that some folks that I knew showed up, and I got to wave to a bunch of buses of detainees, and I heard a little bit about the arrest last night, like from one of the folks in the Hungry March Band. I guess about half of the Hungry March Band was arrested, and about all of the Infernal Noise Brigade was arrested, and that wasn't it for brass bands. There were more than that, and some other folks got arrested too. And I mean, I don't know. My own experience so far has been that, I mean, my personal experience was that the police were respectful of the crap that the protesters had, but it sounds like they were anything but respectful of the instruments of the bands. And in fact, instruments were found in garbage cans afterwards, and in fact, like, some of them in pieces, you know, and like a sousaphone disappeared. Some really kind of cool instruments were not there after things had passed. So that was sad to hear about today as I was down there, but Well, I don't know what else it is than sad. But at least the strumming guy and the screaming girl had gone away by that point, so there was no news really that could be so bad that it would seem bad in comparison to these other protesters who were trying to raise the spirits of everyone else. I think I have something to thank. I do have something to thank George Bush and his Republican cronies for, and that is the presence in the studio of my friend Todd, whom I've been trying to get on mic. Oh, you want to be cosmic? You are already. Yes, fine. Okay. I've been trying to get him on mic for like about a million years, and it's not until now. It's not. It's just. Only George Bush could do it, I think. But you know, whatever. I'll start out by thanking him for his correspondence on Sunday. That was really, really great. Made the show.
That was fun. So, before the strumming guitar guy came up, were you just trying like the relentless stare on the policeman? That's always effective.
Yeah, going for the relentless
stare. You're like staring through the window of like a posh restaurant on the Lower East Side, or staring at a cop, it's all fun.
Incredibly, the folks who. There were a lot of cops who really weren't paying attention to the protest. There were the ones with their arms crossed staring who were fun to stare at, but there were also other ones who were fun to watch because their lips were easily read and they were really not that far away. Like, you could really tell what they were talking about. They were talking about beating protesters down, basically, and like, they were talking about the opportunities they'd had to be brutal.
They have a blank check. It doesn't seem like they're not being watched.
I don't know.
I mean, they're being documented. They're photographed.
Exactly. I would like to think they are.
Everyone's filming them, but you don't see that in the press.
That's true. It only comes out in the lawsuits after, you know, that's the thing is like ultimately, you know, the lawsuits do happen and they may not lose their jobs, but it winds up costing the police department a bunch of money. And you'd think that they would like, I don't know, personally, I mean, I hope that there's a lawsuit that results from the critical mass ride. Honestly, I really, I really would never think of taking the opportunity to sue anyone. I'm as anti-litigious as they come. There doesn't seem like there's anything else that like makes an impression. Like they were able to make all these arrests. The media kind of acquiesced and reported it in a way that's made it seem less than appropriate, but really didn't make it sound nearly as insane and provocative as the police actions have been so far. I mean, what I've seen is absolutely and completely 100% nonviolent.
Yeah, and it seemed like a premeditated mass arrest.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there wasn't something they were trying to quell.
In the case of the bikers, I mean, they already had sheets set up. They already had like printed out sheets telling you where you could get your bike back, and it had the hours for this coming week, which are different than the week after that. Like, it started with Monday. It was like the first day you can get your bike is Monday the 31st. Is that right? Whatever it is. Monday the 30th? Yeah, Monday. The first day you can get your bike back is Monday the 30th. I mean, and this was already printed up to hand to us after we'd been arrested. So obviously, you know, there was no doubt about it. There's no doubt that it was premeditated.
But as you can tell from the newspaper articles, that the only crime was like there were some people blocking traffic every once in a while to let the parade of bikers go by. And that was the only salient thing that they could point at, that this is against the law. You know, but I live by the police academy, and every morning, like, all the police cadets jog over to the East River, and then they come back, and they want to stay in one huge pack, so one cop will run across First Avenue and block all the traffic, even though they have the green light, so all the cops, you know, the cop cadets in their gray NYPD sweatshirts can run across the avenue together. It's precisely the same thing.
But they're pigs, man.
But they don't tolerate pigish behavior in us, you know? It's like...
There you go. No, I mean, honestly, I mean, it's a good time. I guess I'll skip to having, I hung out for a little while in front of the Sheraton today, which is a big delegate hotel, and I walked past it on the way uptown, and I was really, I mean, I remarked to myself that it was, I don't know, it was astonishing. Two blocks south of there, the entire block was filled with cops, like the most cops I'd ever seen in one place, ever. And of course, there's like zillions of other spare ones around, but there was just like a solid block of them. And then, so you get to the Sheraton, and there's like, there's super evil looking black SUVs with like security and CIA type guys in them, and they're on the sidewalk. So there's like a row of them on the sidewalk, and then there's a row of them like the first row in the street where normally cars would be parked is another row of like, whatever, like these like chunky and in shape guys with crew cuts and sunglasses who were so creepy looking in like tight suits. I mean, it's like a
with the vest under them, of course.
Presumably, yeah. And so I remarked on that on the way uptown on my way to Tavern on the Green. And I'll save that for later. But on the way back down, I stopped and thought, oh, well, I'll just stop and watch for a while. I'll look at the security agents and think about how incredibly sinister this whole scene is. And I stand there, I'm standing there for a minute, and like, sure enough, like, people are coming out, delegates, and they're smoking cigarettes, and one of them asks a cop a question, and they're like, then they just set into this conversation about how incredibly accommodating and polite and fantastic the police department is in New York.
Do you take tips?
So I couldn't help myself, and I had to point out that in fact the police had been less accommodating to some other folks who were in the city this weekend, and that it wasn't really maybe exactly as they envisioned it, and they just knew all about the protest. They knew that cops had been beaten up, and they knew that the bikers were blocking traffic, and they were in the wrong place. At least I had the presence of mind. They were like, you were blocking traffic. I mean, I did actually point out to them that I was one of those people who'd been arrested, and one of them said, you were blocking traffic. And I was like, what the hell are you people doing? I mean, fortunately, I had that one, like, that one came out because that was at least timely and incredible. I mean, that they would accuse like this band of bicyclists that would have passed any given spot in 5 minutes had there not been police interference, or less, like 3 minutes maybe, I don't know, but not many. These same people who are completely fucking up the city and just like
Ninth Avenue
twisting it into knots. Yeah, twisting it into knots. And they're like, oh, you were blocking traffic. I mean, I was only blocking traffic
and you fucking live here.
I was only that traffic blocking was only to promote transportation alternatives and save the world. Like, whereas their traffic blocking is to promote greed and abuse
and you know, the irrational sense of fear. You know, like, we have to be really safe and protected at all time because we're in New York City. And
yeah.
What would happen? I mean,
well, I mean, they might get yelled at closer.
Yeah.
I mean,
Something might spur them to think.
Before, I should point out that it took a really short time for a cop to come up and put his hand on my back and say, sir, you're making a scene. You'll have to leave. I did say, oh, thank goodness you're here to protect them from me. Good job. But that was about as...
disturbing the peace again.
That's about as provocative as I got. Oh, boy.
Isn't it ironic that all the protesters are getting charged with disturbing the peace? I mean...
really? Promoting the peace? Yeah.
Disturbing the war.
I don't know. You want to talk about the cheerleaders for a second while I cue something up, and then we'll play a song and maybe give Bess a call? Yeah, sure. Todd's been watching the protesters too, but managing to not get arrested. My hat is off to him. I wouldn't have thought that much.
I was lucky Friday night. I went east, you went west,
there's no doubt.
Got arrested.
Absolutely. You know? there's no doubt about that.
But yeah, last night I wasn't directly involved in a protest, but I just happened to be walking up Irving Place and about 16th Street, I just missed the infernal music machine getting arrested. And there was a long line of like 16-year-old cheerleaders with these great like descent chants and great uniforms, and they were all getting arrested. I heard one say, "Goodbye, Mom."
That's really cool. There was a mom and her son, like, when I got arrested on 35th Street, and she asked the police if they could stay together, and they were like, "Nope, he's 16. I'm sorry." Like, they weren't like, "I'm sorry." They were like, "Nope, he's 16. Males over here, females over there." Which, males and females, man. It's like, they referred to us as prisoners at one point too, and everyone was just like,
"I don't want to be."
But they were lined up to get on the city buses, and then, like, they broke into a spontaneous chorus of "New York, New York," and started kick dancing, and
that's really cool.
It was fun.
I don't know. Should we go to a song? I don't know.
Yeah.
Try and get best call and come back in a little while.
Okay.
Okie dokie. You're tuned to the WFMU web stream, which is an alternate broadcast thingy that's going on at WFMU for the duration of the RNC, the Republican National Convention here in New York, which is going on till tomorrow night. And tomorrow night's going to feature, like, I mean, every day has been so jam-packed with great stuff. And tomorrow, like, you know, you could call it the culmination of the whole thing, though there have been so many high points I wouldn't even know where to start. But tomorrow night there's like an on-air and web stream, both a dual plane audio alternative to the RNC. And for those of you in town, I mean, well, presumably there's some of you in town who can listen to the station over the air but are listening online now, I guess. I flatter myself. But in any case, tomorrow night, 8 to 11 or thereabouts, the amazing alternative audio to the RNC on WFMU. Call your friends. Let them know. It should be really fun. It's going to be the massive remix, all sorts of stuff, a little bit of comedy even, maybe. And
well, Bush's speech, so it's guaranteed comedy. Or horror.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Is it possible that he... I mean, I just... Oh.
When Cheney said tonight that we have the best healthcare system in the world, and I know, like...
That's so amazing. That's really... That's so... But that's so typical of this administration. They just lie right through their fucking teeth, and so many people... Like, you have to imagine...
Through my fucking teeth, man. I know so many people like who are like suffering through like just basic dental pain because it's impossible to get anything.
Me too. Oh man, yeah, but the Right to Life people today who were I'll mention it again. I mentioned it only three times on Sunday, but I saw the best T-shirt when I was in jail and on the ride, in fact, I'd seen it before, and it said, "God hates universal health care," and that just struck me so completely great that I've mentioned it four times now on the air. It's the best shirt. It's the best shirt of the RNC for me. Let's see. There were others, but that one really, definitely, Head and Shoulders.
The worst T-shirt, okay, and... It drove me crazy, and I didn't talk about it on Sunday, but all these people were wearing buttons and T-shirts that said, "Buck Fush." You get it? Like,
yeah.
You switch the B and the F from "fuck Bush,"
yeah.
And it's utterly just stupid. It's like the "fuck," you know, T-shirts, the whatever, you know, jean store that is. And you know, it's like, wow, it's like saying "fuck," but not saying "fuck," but...
Right. I'm sorry. Now I'm reminded of something. It's dangerous. I knew that would happen. But I stopped by Union Square on the way back downtown. I guess I should. I mean, I don't know. I was talking. I did walk all the way from World Trade Center. I mean, my bike, I should point out, is being held as evidence. For those of you who didn't hear my story on Sunday, my bicycle is being held as evidence by the city of New York because I was charged with disorderly conduct and participation and an unpermitted procession this past Friday night. And sure enough, I was offered, they said, we'll let you go for time served, meaning if you plead guilty, you can walk out the door today. And that was Saturday night. And on Monday, you can go and get your bike back. But if you plead not guilty, you won't get your bike back until you've concluded this this thing, whatever it is, this charge, and that won't happen until October 28th. So I was walking today, and it was a nice day. It really wasn't too hot for most of the day. Walked up the west side from the World Trade Center to the detention center. Then I walked up past the garden. I did not check out the 8th Avenue protester pen. That was like the one big protester spot that I missed.
So why didn't you plead guilty? Was it just that, I mean, that would have been just too easy and you would have been out. I mean, do you want to participate in a class action suit? Or did you just want to, like, fuck you, I'm not guilty of anything? And
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in the back of my mind was the suit, but much more important was, fuck you, I'm not guilty. Yeah. You know, you arrested me for nothing, man. You arrested me because there's a bunch of stupid fucking old prick Republicans in town with all their goddamn money, and that's why I got arrested. It's not because I was riding my bike down 35th Street with a bunch of people and traffic had been inconvenienced. I mean, that's happened once a month for years, and nobody gets arrested. So, I mean, that's clearly not why people got arrested. They got arrested to test out the Guantanamo on the Hudson penitentiary setup or pen setup that I was describing, and... but wait, sorry, no, now I'm back to where I started. I'm about, forgive my, departure there, but I got down to, I was down in Union Square and there's this guy looking at the there's all these people selling t-shirts and a lot of them are clever, but I totally had a little bit of mixed feelings about that because it seemed kind of like, I mean, I suppose most of them were well-intentioned, but they also were kind of, you know, well-intentioned capitalists selling crap to people. But this guy's looking at them, and he's saying, like, under his breath, he's saying, like, oh, it's Kerry. Everybody, all these Kerry fans, they use bad words on their shirt. And he's like, you know, bad language. Like, and he seemed like kind of a, you know, I mean, not nearly a total nut job, but he seemed a little out there. And I just took him up. I was like, what's wrong with fuck, man? You know, like, really, no words. Words are not dangerous. You know, fuck is fine and shit is, you know, no words are dangerous. It's, you know, words are cool. Especially words about
good Anglo-Saxon sounding
words and words about sex and defecation. I mean, holy moly. So, yeah, I hope you all heard Ken's FCC investigation show the other morning, on Tuesday morning. There could be archives of this up someday. I think there probably will be, but maybe not everything. And it was kind of done on the fly at the last minute, so we were a little afraid to promise archives. But for those of you WebHound listeners, don't forget about the third explicit Harry Cole interview. That's WFMU's FCC lawyer. We have a special lawyer just for interpreting the acts of the FCC for us. He's like our interpreter is maybe a better word. Yeah. But he obviously took tremendous delight in being able to have this conversation on the webcam, on the webcast, and not.
Oh yeah, I've always heard it like on Ken's show, but it's like you can't even talk about what you want to talk about.
So they played all the songs that have gotten fined in the last few years, and they played Kick Out the Jams, Motherfucker, that like led like through a series of events to FMU being off the air. I mean, that resulted in a complaint. Back in the day, that song resulted in a complaint to the FCC. So the Uppsala College folks, that was what led to the walkout, was the crackdown by the Uppsala College administration after the report on Motherfucker. So that was a big, big song in the history of FMU, and also the only complaint to the FCC that FMU has ever been subjected to. You know, fortunately, we drive away people who are sensitive, I suppose. Here's a good song for sensitive people.
Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere that we the people here don't want a war. Hey there, Mr. Black Man, can you hear me? I don't want your diamonds or your game. I just wanna be someone known to you as me. And I will bet my life you want the same. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before.
It's funny how a politician can get elected by declaring he's opposed to the war. Then spend the next 4 years trying to convince us that we must fight a little more. It doesn't seem to matter, so many think it should end, but that many men have died with no satisfaction. The politician should remember very well the words he chose to win the election. If the average man who works so hard to pay the bills of this awful war we'll all band together one of these days. I bet that this war would soon be no more. Let's keep track of all the politicians who won't do what he said he would. And the next time election day comes around, let's remove him from his office like we should. It's funny how a politician can get elected by declaring he's opposed to the war. And then spend the next 4 years trying to convince us we must fight a little more.
Hello, we have a wonderful grooving along sound from Jimmy Witherspoon.
Melodic.
L-O-V, love, 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 love.
Oh, God, I've been lied to. Put them top pair.
But what about?
Many musical evenings we've got down here at the Poly, I'm telling you.
Get to know Abysmo with the mayor of Abysmo, His Honor Johnny Spencer.
Hello. Let's get to know Abysmo. One of the most interesting houses in Abysmo is Hurley House at the corner of Locust and May. It's a three-bedroom, split-level ranch style, and Mr. Hurley is asking a firm $27,500. If you are interested, call me at my office at City Hall. I'll be glad to show it to you any time between 2 and 6 p.m. I have good news for the citizens of Abysmo. The town council voted to change the town curfew from 8 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock. That means Abysmites can be out on the streets until 10 o'clock, and then they will be subject to arrest. Also, here's a final note. Freedom cards will be issued to all citizens of Abysmo. Remember, you must carry your freedom card with you at all times and must be ready to show it to any officer of authority, or you will have the shit beat out of you. And that...
I couldn't be happier, Margie. He's too good to be true. He's tall, he's handsome, he's rich, exciting. Definitely the best thing that's happened to me since George died. No, the kids haven't met him yet. They will later, though. He's out duck hunting. He said he'd drop by afterwards. Oh, Marge, I like a man who hunts ducks. Yeah. He said he was coming by because he had something very important to say to me. Marge, I think he may even pop the question. Oh, wait a minute. That might be him now. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Coming! Hi, Michael.
Hi, Ann. How
are you? I just made some martinis just the way you like them.
Oh, great.
Did I just hear a shot?
Yeah. It's a funny thing. I was walking up the driveway, and my gun kind of went off accidentally, and I shot a rabbit. He was digging up your garden. Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
That wasn't a rabbit. That was Skippy, my dog.
Oh, Ann, I'm terribly sorry.
No problem, Michael. No problem. He was getting old anyway.
You sure?
My God, in dog age, he was close to 7. Sit down, Michael. Oh, I forgot to ask, how did duck hunting go?
Oh, well, it's not really duck hunting. It's, well, it's kind of deer hunting, even though I didn't shoot a thing. I am getting better. Well, Ann, I'm very sorry.
No problem. These things happen. It was getting dirty anyway.
I can't believe.
You know, Michael, I'm reading this book called The Total Woman.
Yes.
It really makes a lot of sense. It says that... Oh, hi, Duke. You're home from school early.
Yeah. We had a half a day.
Oh.
Hello, son. How are you?
Hi. Say, what's wrong with Skippy? He looks sick.
No, Duke, he's tired. He's sleeping.
Well, that's strange. The mailman's lying on the lawn. He must be sleeping, too.
Bright young boy. Oh, my Lord, I...
No problem.
Oh. And... That was your son.
That's right. It was my son. But we can't live in the past now, can we? We must live for today and tomorrow. Our tomorrow.
You're so understanding.
Well, I try not to be bothered by trivialities, and you should, too.
Mommy, am I crazy or did I just hear shots?
Say, who was that?
I was in the shower. I could have sworn I... Oh.
My late daughter.
I am now. I'm very sorry.
No problem, Michael. No problem. Look, Patty was young, but those were 19 fruitful years.
Yes,
Patty. She even went to Europe last summer.
Listen, well, now that we're alone, as it were, well, there's something I wanted to ask you.
Really?
Yeah. I've never asked anybody this before. I'm kind of nervous.
Take your time.
Ann, I'm so old-fashioned. Look. You sit here.
Okay.
I guess I just want to do it the right way. Look. Ann, are you all right?
No problem. Just hurry up. What was it that you wanted to ask?
You're sure you're all right?
I'm fine, Michael.
Oh, you know, I could really use that martini now, I'll tell you.
Now?
Yeah, it'd probably help me pop the... Well, you know, as I was saying, I mean... Well, we've known each other for, I guess, a few
70?
Months.
70?
Oh, that's fine. That's perfect. Oh, do you think I could have a twist? Just a little drier. This message has been brought to you by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. You know, a gun is only as dangerous as the man who uses it. Oh, boy.
Saturday night will return after
this. All right, men, move in. Move in. Your captain would like a word with you.
All right, men, listen up now. Now, men, we need some volunteers.
All right.
Anybody want to volunteer? Rodriguez, how about you?
Yes, Rodriguez.
Hey, man, I'd like to help you, Captain, man. I got to reprimer the Jeep.
That's it.
Yeah, reprimer the Jeep. Yeah. Hey, I'll help you, my nana, okay, man?
Got it, man.
All right, Rodriguez. How about Brown? How about you, Brown?
Oh, you can kiss my ass, you honky little Brown!
All right, now hold it right there, Brown. Come on, man. Now, discipline's getting pretty lax around here. Now, I remember last week when I asked you for volunteers to go weed out that marijuana patch, a goddamn near got stampeded. Talking about them, where in the hell are they? They've been gone a week now.
They're still out on patrol, sir.
Get them on the horn. Here, give me that.
Engelbaker turn in and watch the box dogs. Engelbaker turn in and watch the box dogs. Can you read me?
Him. Foreign grand.
Oh, wow, man. That's a record. Hey, leave that answer.
All right, let me turn that thing down.
What's going on? Hello? Engelbaker, turn in or Roger Fox Dogs. Engelbaker, turn in or Roger Fox Dogs. Can you read me?
Oh, wow. Somebody talking pretty bad about Roger.
Oh, wow, man.
Roger ain't here.
No, goddammit, this is the captain speaking.
Who?
The captain.
Captain ain't here either.
No, I'm the captain. Have you found that marijuana patch yet?
Yeah, man, we found it.
Will you sustain any casualties?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, man, the whole platoon's wiped out.
All
right, hey, man, tell them to bring their own water pipe, man.
You need anything else?
Yeah, man, how'd you dig a pepperoni pizza?
All right, now, man, we need some volunteers to go help A Company. We got any volunteers?
Police, line up. Training the searchlight is success on a talented peace officer or office stress. In the spot today, a street veteran since 57, People's Captain El Totino Ferrucci and his rookies.
I get a bang out of life. I like to go home and the little wife. Oh, those violent lyrics hurt. How many times in the past, in the line of duty, have I burst into a room to find a man standing over a hole in his gaping wife, his smoking gun in his hand? But times have changed, and we peacemen have learned that guns and smoking may be dangerous to your health. We quit. Can you?
Your local awareness council prevents Salute My Boots, which equips an authority by former member of the former House of Representatives, the once honorable Bosco Hearn.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. This is Bosco Hearn with a few pointers on money. Are you being charged $18,000 a day for a house without a toilet? Does it cost you $1.5 million a year for pencils? Well, you're not alone. I'm with you. Too loose change is the problem. No change in your pocket because values have changed. You shouldn't be surprised. The ancient geeks ate their servants. We throw away light bulbs. In fact, practically speaking, you're not paying any more. You're getting less. Don't you remember? What was 5 is 2. What was 2 is 1. What was 1 is nothing. Now I'm going to repeat that again for those of you on drugs. What was 5?
We can see him!
Snot!
There's some snot on my foot!
Hi, I'm an extra intercepted.
who have just been participating in a sample test of your area alert system. It works. This is not a real test. Your concern at this point is enough.
And one is nothing. Okay. This is Bosco Hearn, happy to be working again for you.
Now, that's an example.
When I was in the service, they taught me how to fight. With my own guts and an M16, I fought for freedom's right. The right to worship my own way, the right to speak my mind. The right to have a gun around to protect what little's mine. To protect what little's mine. They taught me how to use that gun and carry it with pride. And though I never use it much, it's still close to my side. I've fought for others' freedom, now I'll fight for mine. Americans have worked too hard to give it up to crime, to give it up to crime. This gun control they're talking about, well, sir, it don't make sense. It gives the guns to killers, good folks have no defense. The ones that want guns get them, no, they won't sign their name. They kill with guns, they kill for guns to them, it's all the same. Raging, it's here within our land. Don't you know it's hard to tell where our leaders stand? They're telling folks, give up your guns, we'll make the outlaws pay. They'll nail them, jail them, bail them, let them out in 30 days. Let them out in 30 days. What they call law today's not like it used to be. The time was then when men were men and killers not set free. A man was judged by what he'd done and judgment then decreed. No such thing as bargaining or plead insanity. Plead insanity. Now raging, it's here within our land. Don't you know it's hard to tell where our leaders stand? They're telling folks, give up your guns, we'll make the outlaws pay. They'll nail them, jail them, bail them, let them out in 30 days. Let them out in 30 days. I think we need to take a strong look at this so-called gun control.
So now this is a thing called Too Late Blues, Ain't No Ambulances for No Niggas Tonight, which is a poem from a forthcoming volume of poetry I have of the same name, Ain't No Ambulances for No Niggas Tonight. And this, historically, this has background to the Watts Festival, August 1968, and how the police came down on the black people. But it also has some statements about a lot of fraudulent, very corny type pseudo-revolutionaries. So I get everybody in this, see. So I may have to leave after I finish this one, if you can get to that. Okay, so here it goes. The jitterbug bebops thought they was off in the boogie, but it was another dance altogether to the devil. So as Bo Dollar, Bo Pete, and the others grinded against their women, they fell perforated under the flames of baby, baby, baby. Horns as tall as corn stalks had sprung from the head of the beast. His tail made a tunnel through his striped pants and flapped through the vent of his frock coat. His fangs came forward and he French-tongued his dogs before coming down in lead rain on the rest of Darktown. Monkey Jr. was ready when it went down, but couldn't get nobody to go with him. Sunday, the last day the sun shone across the livid face of white America, was when the torture took off. Came out of the blocks of gun barrels running fast. Didn't stop for nobody. Swept all the niggas and whites out of Will Rogers Park. Hummed their sirens and came down too cold on the boulevard. 103rd Street, blowing people away. And they, the woolly-headed would-be lovers, would-be warriors, bit concrete under the fast-creeping bullets for goddamn I'm sure out to kill every nigga they could. And they carried a victim, dripping red, up the steps of the police station, asking only for an ambulance. But the beast manning the valiant watch station said, ain't no ambulances for no niggas tonight. No one went wild. They had been too busy getting high. They could not see the pink face of the oppressor sitting on the bull's eye of the black knight. Therefore, whatever guns the dumb and high had did, no good. Merely helped pave the way for tombstones. The devil ages were the days now that we were in. Never too cool to kill a brother, but always dropping the gun when the beast with the badges arrived. And they shot little Fats all of 9 times after having made him get down on his knees and raise his arms in prayer. 40 million slabs were laid out. Fashion plate nationalists were too busy making money selling clothes to notice. They died in their bright African colors, Swahili curses dripping from their mouths. Many revolutionaries got theirs in the ass as they bucked atop another bourgeois bitch, preparing her for the revolution. Many who slipped in college and skated out with degrees were huff-puffing their way up the Mount Everest of the middle class when the tongue rope red up the honky's ass was cut and they landed on sabers. Ow! But it wasn't bebop. And Monkey Jr. found himself almost alone, but the nigga did get on his job. Straight out Mau Mau Nat Turner madness, the red that passed for blood in the devil's veins laid out everywhere. He caught them in kitchens grinning at the massacre over the radio. The housewives, the daughters, the babies, all their heads, yay, set up in their windows like pumpkins. Their bodies stuffed in their washing machines, piled in their bathtubs, and he masqueraded. White men stabbed in the belly by the shoeshine boy he pretended to be. Or spikes run through their mouths, nailing their heads to the floor by elevator boys with bloody gloves running up the alley. He dismembered babies and shitted on their bodies. Monkey Jr. was a wild madman, a black hurricane carrying knives and dancing through the white cities. He alone and no others was the only one to survive. And the sun, which had grasped its light, reflected from the eyes of black women and its heat from the love of their men, the sun went skinny and fell wheezing into the sea, warming it to a pallid soup of dead fish and melted pearls. The beast did not adapt to darkness, starved, finding no one else to kill. And Monkey Jr., on his knees, the only man left, prayed. So that's that. A girl that I knew, Brown, Georgia, who was shooting stuff, and she overdosed and died. In reference to that stuff, see, that heroin and them pills, see, those things are things that got brought into the black community by the white man, primarily by the white so-called jazz musician who, when he couldn't get into the session one way or another, usually brought his little goodies, his candy, his cocaine, his heroin, you know, his pills, you know. And it got because he felt that he had to be in a certain state to do what the black musicians were doing more or less naturally. And now you got it to the point where niggas run around talking about when they hear John Coltrane, ooh, he sure must have been loaded to play like that, you know, which is like a great insult to musicians who practice for 8-10 hours a day, you know, scrape and try to make it just so they can offer somebody something. And all people got to say is that they're offering them some kind of a doped up vision of the world that doesn't have anything to do with any kind of real work, you know. And anybody who knows anything about black musicians or black African musical tradition in general knows that musicians learn from when they're little and they respect the instrument and they respect the craft and the art itself. And there's a whole lot of hours that have gone into almost any solo you hear by any great, great black musician. You know, when you start saying that he's doing that on the basis of some drug, you know, then you're talking the same thing that that them people are talking about instant this, instant coffee, instant instant life, you know, LSD, instant spirituality, instant everything. It ain't nothing instant but death, you know. So that, like, anything that's about life is like a very long, drawn-out process that means a whole lot of work. This is a short poem about a musician named Pharoah Sanders. I'm about 5 minutes, I'm going to have to get off here so some other artists can come up here, you know. This is called Pharoah. There is a forest within the saxophone which calls of song and prayer. Songs like boils of honey burst within the mouth. They are lanced by God's shadow, which is light. And that's for Pharoah. This is a thing called No New Music. In Mississippi, balloons of hunger blow themselves up in the bellies of children on porches and slat-thin houses held up by stilts. The teeth of madmen turn to wood and tar paper and holes in the roof. Holy vessel of truth, sail through the night now and save these children. These children whose legs bend bowed under the bone-wilting fire of rickets. Black queen, empty as a raped peanut shell, lie down beneath your quilt of roaches and pray for your children. Pray to the stars who spy at night on your poverty, on your husband with his arm across his eyes, his hands smooth with no money, no work, nowhere, his eyes tattooed with the red neck and face of the devil himself, his eardrums playing back the tunes of abuse the beasts blow through their corn cob pipes. No new music. This is a poem called Chops Are Flying, and it's dedicated to Ben Webster, Lucky Thompson, Kenny Clark, and a whole Nathaniel Meeks, Horace Tapp Scott, Black Arthur, a whole bunch of black musicians who scuffling and struggling. You know, basically this is about the older ones who have been slept on, you know, that is that they can't make it, but Benny Goodman is a millionaire. So it starts with a quote from a record called Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, which is a record that anybody who's not a damn fool should have. That is, it's a meeting of two cultural giants, you know, and the music is fantastic. That is, if you're not so corny that the only thing that you're interested in is the newest thing that some fool shoots through the radio that's being paid by the white man anyway to propagate whomsoever he wants you to like, you know. So if you start studying your own music, maybe you'll find out who Louis really is, you know, and he ain't that grinning coon that you see for 10 minutes on television every 3 or 4 months, you know. He done a whole lot musically, you know, and in fact, a white critic named Martin Williams once wrote an essay about the fact that even the trumpet sound in the so-called classical orchestra was changed by what Lewis did to the trumpet in the 1920s, you know. So if you want to know something about music and what you're doing and what you've done, you know, get on your time and try to get somebody here like Tapp Scott or Bobby Bradford or John Carter, somebody here to teach you something about black music so that you won't get them usual games run on you and you won't have to wait till somebody like John Coltrane is dead before you start buying his records, you know, and going to see him. So it starts with this quote from the record. Chops are flying everywhere and there's nothing says Lewis but old Duke left in there. Get away, Duke, get away. Get away, they're all gone, way up to what's beautiful. All the older men mellowed down lower than new flowers. But flowers are not animal enough to illustrate the beauty of these men who are graceful as summer, as the warm would be aged, were it buried within a body to then glow through it. Blood bent backward and bursting, straight, up to God, hit him right between the eyes and make him smile. Yes, it is that they speak and what they have to say is unreasonable because of what they are. To have been this black as the casted shape of a great spirit under the bars of this mad and savage place, tipped where the only singing many times was the whistling of a buck-eyed body a dangle like a grotesque blossom from some tree. Slaves anyway, but never emasculated is what these men say to me, though some stumble upstairs under alcohol, half-dollar bottles of dark port or three times that much for some kind of whiskey, buried like kings in pyramids of flop houses, their deeds rotted from the minds of the people on the street, or even like beautiful of the half-bell boy meets horn Rex, who had in his last days a job on a jive magazine writing about music, or asking an untalented critic, Dash, if he could get a job as a waiter in a club just to be near it. Barrels of bullshit have been the quicksand these men have had to wade through only so they could continue pulled to be beautiful. But no beauty is wanted here, none at all, never, never. But these men standing tall, giants maybe, will always be this way. Trees whose height we can climb just listening, to sit there, our legs swung over the branches of their deeds, able with no difficulty to see far beyond the smoke, the buildings, and the terror of these cities. Just as Duke has said, when everything else is gone, the music will still be here. So that's for the cast.
Natural man lives in harmony. Lately his plans fell with a lot of teeth. Pollution and famine give a reason to examine that the whole world is gonna do. The whole world is gonna do. Government grows to enormity and suffers a giant deformity. Get out of your head, stay in bed instead. The whole world is gonna do. The whole world is gonna do. The whole
lend your voice to my song. Come along, take my hand, sing a song. For a land where the river runs free, for a land through the green country, for a land to a shining sea, for a land where the horses run free.
Travel to a million places. land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
Back here in the WFMU studios on the WFMU web stream, the RNC programming parallel to WFMU's live on the air 91.1. That's kind of nice, isn't it? That's what give that a little. And you're going to get to hear. This will be your first time ever. Cosmic Can. Oh, damn right you are. Is that three?
Should no, be. It's two.
Okay. Oh.
What was that? I don't know.
Four.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm Cosmic Ken.
Yeah. Cosmic Ken. Welcome to an alternate episode of 40 Ounces in a Turntable.
Good to be here, Cosmic Cowboy. I guess I've always done this to other sounds, so
right.
It's divine justice that this should be done to me.
There you go. Well, let me just quickly, we heard a little bit of feel-good music there. We heard This Land Is Your Land from a great, really great record called Connie Francis and the Kids Next Door. We heard from There's Nobody Just Like Me. We heard from Free to Be You and Me. That was all kind of like going out to the protesters, you know, you're not freaks. You're the mainstream, man. You're real. It's the Republicans that are freaks. So don't even, you know, there's nothing weird about you. We heard Stanley Crouch before that, Ain't No Ambulances for No Niggas Tonight, from that album, A Chunk of the Second Side. We heard Procter & Berman, Bergman before that, and before that, Cheech and Chong, a little bit of Saturday Night Live, gun control track, very nice. Terrific Marshall Efren from an album called Neutrino News Network, and We heard the mayor's message, and that ended with the charming keep your freedom papers handy. Before that, a track from Rock and Other Four-Letter Words from Marx and Leb Zelter. Super record all the way through. Before that, a track from God Bless the Working Man, and we heard The Politician and the War, and we started out with Simple Song of Freedom. You weren't looking for really specific set list tonight, were you?
We're heading towards freedom papers, Cosmic Cowboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're heading in that direction.
And it's been apparent right here in Jersey City, right here in Terror Town. We've had Security Town in the last few days.
Yeah, lots of cops with machine guns, half a block away from WFMU, checking people's papers. What's the German word for papers? Papieren?
Sounds good to me. Given the papier.
Some listener out there must know what the German word for papers is. Because I was asked for papers this morning and Monday morning. By cops wielding machine guns, and it really upset me.
You want to give us a call at 201-209-9368?
Yeah, somebody can Google it. Somebody can go to Babelfish Instant Translator, whatever it is, and... I would like to know, show me your papers, please. Show me your papers, please, in German.
I can't.
No, don't worry about it. Let's let a listener do it.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I was just going to say I can't go there because I've got the drivethevote.org site open, which seems like a really important one to me. It seems like it's about getting people registered in swing states and getting them voting there, and that seems really imperative to me. That seems like the thing.
Some people are even moving to other states,
right,
that have looser residency requirements.
Right, but the thing is, I don't think it's always all that complicated or necessary to necessarily move there. I think it's worth taking a look at this site. I think they'll hook you up with voting rights activists in the state, in these swing states, and make sure you've got your address and you can come back and vote, and that it's all legal. I mean, I'm sure. What would be the point if it weren't right? So I didn't, I don't know. I didn't really get a chance to see. You were already on the air, Ken. I was at Tavern on the Green today, heckling the folks, the delegates and their guests as they exited the Life of the Party.
Oh, great.
Which was more or less like the right to Life of the Party. It was the Phyllis Schlafly-hosted, sponsored event with... And Ann Coulter was there.
That's a good place to heckle.
Yeah, it was really, really, really fun. I really let fly with a really, I mean, and you can hear him a little hoarse. I mean, it's really almost astonishing that I have my voice at all because I was yelling for much of like 2 or 3 hours.
And what were the chants? What were the heckles?
A really, really basic one was war is not pro-life. That was kind of like one of the ones that kind of ran through. Shame on you, hypocrites. I personally was going with keep your church out of my government, keep your church out of my school, you know, you've got blood on your hands, which is so, so bizarre. Like, that seemed, I mean, it was really kind of bizarre because, like, they were like, you know, there were a few delegates that took us to task as, you know, baby killers.
Yeah, you need an oral equivalent of, like, those big fetus signs.
That's the thing is, like, I was the only one of any of the protesters that suggested that perhaps a fetus was not a life that should have rights of its own. I don't think it should. Personally, I think the rights of the parents supersede, you know, before the child is born, I think the rights of the parents supersede the rights of the thing.
That's not exactly how I see it, but...
Yeah, but the second you were born, I know you felt like your rights superseded your parents' rights the second you were born.
That's why it's such a difficult issue.
I'm such an environmentalist that I think the fewer people, the better at any cost is really the bottom line. That's really the bottom line.
You and Hitler, the environmentalist.
Well, I'm not that enthusiastic about the environment, but... heckling was great. And ran into one of my oldest friends.
And
who,
musically, what were the heckles? I mean, you know, what were the actual chants?
Oh, there weren't too many.
Uh-huh.
There weren't too many. Code Pink was there for a while, and they chanted, they had a pretty good chant that they did for a while. There was a guy who kept shouting, "New York resents you," which I thought was really great. Republicans go home, you're not welcome here. Those were things. And they totally looked like aliens. I mean, these people looked like they had landed from another planet, which I guess is Texas. It's like, upper class Texas land, wherever that is, which I never actually saw.
I think a lot of people subscribe to the belief that heckling has no effect whatsoever. But I have been fascinated by Lyndon Johnson for years. And there's an author, Robert Caro, who's been writing thousands of pages. He's finished three volumes of the biography of Lyndon Johnson, and I've read them all. And one thing that struck me is that he was very affected by the anti-Vietnam War heckling that went on while he was president. It's specifically one heckle that haunted him, that had a huge effect on him. "Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today?" LBJ heard that. He heard it in the White House. He heard it as he traveled around the country.
Nice.
And it really had a huge...
Nice. That's great to hear.
Yeah, a huge effect on him.
And in fact, he actually came up because I don't... Oh, it was...
As you recall, LBJ could have run for president in 1968 and most likely would have won.
Right.
And bowed out of the race.
Right.
Which is why Humphrey became the nominee and then Humphrey lost to Nixon.
This very record that I was touting last week, "God Bless the Working Man," the track that I played says, what do you make of a man who is elected on an anti-war ticket and then, keeps the war going.
But maybe that's one of the differences between Democrats and Republicans.
And I said,
a Democratic warmonger.
Was it this record?
A Democratic warmonger like Johnson would be affected by heckling.
Right.
But a Republican warmonger president would not be affected by heckling.
Democrats have a conscience.
Yeah, there's something.
There's a seed of a conscience in there.
Yeah.
And it can actually be. It doesn't. I mean, maybe there's a
sometimes.
Maybe there's a seed of a conscience inside a Republican, but it's got such a hard shell around it that it just can't be affected by it. Because that's really the feeling that I got today. Like, of course, I was heckling like religious Republicans who are going to be the most sure of themselves and the hardest to reach. But honestly, these people seemed just absolutely oblivious to. Everything.
Well, you're just immediately written off as a wacko. It's
yeah, they're prepared.
On so many levels, so it's like it doesn't matter what you say. It's just like gibberish from a wacko.
That's why I played the Feel Good Children's records about you're not different because they're the weirdos, they're the freaks, and it's really important to remember that. Just because our government happens to favor these crazy people who are coming out of Tavern on the Green today doesn't mean that that's. The reality for the majority of the United States. I mean, this one guy came over and was like, "Whoa, what do you people think about a nationwide referendum on abortion?" And as I understand it, I mean, for all the publicity that pro-life people get, as I understand it, the United States is tremendously, proportionally, tremendously in favor of abortion rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's really, an issue, in terms of,
Yeah, that would probably be suicidal for the Republican Party if they were to go for a national referendum.
I mean, he came over and said, and everybody shut up, and I was like, yes, really, you're wrong. If you're living in a bubble, if you think, in some sort of weird conservative bubble, if you think that the United States would vote a majority against abortion rights.
This is why they backed off of the gay marriage amendment, is because they realized that that was political suicide.
Right.
I think that's really important to remember that.
And in fact, that like that's even so much easier to marginalize. Like as much as it's like seems like an elementary civil right to me for same-sex couples to be able to get married, but at the same time, like that's really easier to marginalize. I mean, everybody's daughter gets pregnant. I mean, pretty much. I mean, that time comes. Like you know, those people who are walking out of the Tavern on the Green today, they've paid to have their kids, you know, have their babies aborted. You just know it. I mean, they're not going to have their 17-year-old daughter, like, have a kid, like...
You know, I wonder if anybody was there with a microphone and a recorder outside of Scores, you know, the high-end titty bar.
I've seen the events listed.
Next to Crowbar, because Crowbar, you know, had all the Southern Rock Republican nights there, the Allman Brothers and Dickie Betts and ZZ Top or whatever.
38 Special.
So I'm sure tons of Republicans were going in and out of Scores all night.
Right.
That would have been... Christy and I actually talked about him possibly collecting audio there, but he didn't make it.
Yeah, honestly, I was watching at the detention area today. I was telling Todd, I was watching the lips of the... I was reading the lips of some of the police who were nearer me, and I really wished that I had a recording device because I easily could have recorded them. I mean, it was I could almost hear them with my, you know, with my naked ear. A microphone would have caught them easily, so that would have been kind of fun to do some surreptitious taping of police.
Did a lot of the protesters today have cameras or anything?
Yeah, too many.
Yeah.
you know me and cameras.
Did anybody have video cameras or tape recorders?
Yeah, sure.
They had microphones, and the police let you keep all that stuff?
Yeah. So presumably they were speaking within a microphone shot of some of the other people. Uh-huh. Yeah. Seemingly appeared to be speaking candidly. You know, they appear to be speaking about beating up protesters, honestly.
Okay, so now we got to figure out, I'm sorry to get geeky here, but now we got to figure out if we could bring a parabolic microphone.
That would be awesome.
So you could aim it
that'd be really
at cops
awesome.
And Republicans who are, you know, some
right.
distance away and get pretty good audio from them. They're out there.
That would be great.
Microphones.
It would have been so fun to hear what they were saying to each other as we were heckling them today. That would have been a blast.
That ain't hard to do.
Gosh, wow, if I could have brought a little amp and, like, played back what they were saying, that would have been so fun. If I could have aimed it back at them, that would have been great.
As soon as you start to aim, though, they're going to think weapon.
Yeah.
And
I know. That's the thing. A parabolic microphone that's meant to record specific sounds from a distance actually, you know, looks kind of like a gun. And then it's got, you know, what looks like a satellite dish behind it to collect the sound at the microphone. I don't think they would let you have that.
No.
Even though it's just collecting sound.
They're used to video recorders now.
Yeah, they wouldn't be used to that.
Somebody explained something cool to me today, which is that though there was a ruling, a court case some time ago, I don't even know any history, but the upshot was that the police were not allowed to just film protests in an attempt to gather information. And but in fact what they do is they film it and broadcast it live and then record it somewhere else because they're in fact just prevented from the court case prevented them only from recording on the spot.
Jeez.
I don't know. Maybe that was just
that was a New York State
protester paranoia. Oh, I don't know.
That was just hearsay. Yeah.
I think it's ever since the like Tompkins Square police riots when.
Oh, okay.
They
so maybe it was New York City. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
They've started turning the cameras around because I've noticed that protests since then they've relentlessly taped.
Wow.
I mean, I think that you and I are allowed to walk into a park and just, you know, take pictures and videotape even people who happen to be in the park.
Oh, presumably.
Yeah, I think that's something that's just allowed to be done.
Yeah, public. Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
So if we're allowed to do it, I would presume the police are allowed to do it. Who knows? We still haven't gotten that German translation yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
So we'll never find out the answer to this. finding out how to say, show me your papers, please, in German. That's easy.
Okay, I'm going to move on to something that I know is entertaining, which was my distaste for a few of the protesters today. I already complained about the guy strumming and the woman singing the Star Spangled Banner at the top of her lungs, but up by Tavern on the Green, there was another guy, I don't know, whatever. He was just a guy. He was a big fat old hippie who was really like, asking, you know, like, he really seemed to, like, he was actually at the, I had first witnessed him at the detention center and thought, oh God, you know, he's really making my skin crawl. He was like pestering everybody in a way that was not constructive and not really, not at all interesting. He seemed to be imparting nothing to the protests. He seemed to be just a big, like, energy vacuum, like, he was in such bad shape, he was just sucking everyone else's energy out. So in any case, when he was up by Tavern on the Green, he's like, he starts chanting, like, pot is an herb, bush is a dope, which was like, okay, whatever. Like, but the thing is, yeah, Ken's
not a good
chant. Not okay.
Have you guessed who he is yet? I mean,
well, he must be one of the yippies, right?
Yeah. You can even guess specifically. He's like a media.
Dana Beale or Aaron Kay? Aaron Kay, thank you.
Okay.
The
well,
pie
in,
man.
Okay, well, in any case, he then, like, someone showed up who had oak tag and markers, and he took a sheet of oak tag, and he just scrawled on it the same thing. Pot is an herb, bush is a dope. And, like, every time some news company or somebody came along with a big camera, like, pressed from the other side of the barrier, he would, like waddle up and expect everyone to get out of his way so that he could hang this sign over the barricade for the cameras. And it really irked me so much that he would, like, I mean, he seemed so misrepresentative of what was going on there. This was a bunch of interesting, lucid, motivated people who were basically, like, you know, like, aiming for the, you know, like, within the realm of what could be considered mainstream. And here's another guy who's like, I mean, to call him an extremist, I mean, I don't know. He was just, I just felt like it was really, really, really a drag. And he was such a camera hound. He was such a news hound that was disgusting. Like, I mean, no chanting. He was just up there putting up his sign, you know, that just, you know, was just obviously the thing that a news corporation would be. That was what irked me, I guess, is that I figured I'm more likely to turn on the news tonight and see his stupid sign than someone who's lucid and interesting like the other, like almost every single other person who was there.
Well, I think you should have walked up to him and talked to him very reasonably, and then you should have had him killed.
I gave him a little piece of my mind. I
or
had
at
to
least
admit.
Ripped up his sign.
That would have been great. I missed a tremendously great opportunity. I should have ripped up his sign. That would have been so great. Because honestly, after I gave him a little piece of my mind, what he said was, if you and I were to see a burning building, we would both see it from a different, we would each see it from a different perspective, and let's leave it at that. And I was like, that's when I should have killed him and ripped up his sign.
Should have ripped up his sign.
Oh, well, yeah, so... So we're really, once again, 40 ounces and turntable is not missing an opportunity to give it to rip some old-time activists in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you before how I'm kind of embarrassed at how active I'm getting, that I'm actually sending money to Kerry, who I despise, and I'm actually going to...
That seems not activist, but at the same time, but totally embarrassing.
Yeah.
And brave of you to admit.
And then I'm also going to a moveon.org, I'm not even sure, party to call people to urge them to vote.
Hey,
so I'm doing these things.
Laura's got that incredibly great song, her cover of Sam Stone, that's on the new Move On comp that's in the bin. So
yeah.
Move On's got something good going for it. It's got a really great John Prine cover by Laura Cantrell. This is.
Well, I'm sure when I come out of my evening of calling people, I will have some horrible stories to tell about the people who I am supposedly on the same side with.
Oh, I see. I see.
I want to do it, but I'm kind of dreading it too.
You'll be calling for donations.
So you'll have
calling, urging people to vote, to remind them to vote, or remind them to register to vote.
Cool. That's important. I mean, it really is.
Yeah, but I'm basically becoming a telemarketer. You know?
No. I mean,
that's partly how I see it, but I don't care.
Admirable.
You got to go with the forces of pathetic. when they're fighting the forces of evil up on the great plateau with the great lighting behind it, you got to go with pathetic every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in favor of pathetic. I'm voting pathetic.
and when evil...
What is it, the pathetic block or like vote row pathetic? Oh, well. Yeah, that's. I wished I'd gotten that. I really wanted to. I think I would say, I mean, when Nader's vice presidential candidate was on the phone
on Sunday,
that was really great. And I really wanted to lay that on him. I really wanted to, like, lay my whole, like, incredible guilt trip that I'm going to vote for Kerry on him and hear what he had to say. Like, because he'd been ripping both candidates, just, like, ripping
each a new asshole,
and it was great.
Yeah. You know what the Nader people always say? They're living in a fantasy world. They actually argue that they're going to pull as many votes from Bush as they will from Kerry. They actually repeatedly maintain that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's...
I mean, here we are
heading... That's clearly insane.
We're heading towards freedom papers and internment camps. So it's time to get realistic.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Vote pathetic.
Vote pathetic. Send money to pathetic. Help pathetic in any way that you can.
Yeah. Drive the vote. Try to find someone that got relatives in a swing state. Work that out.
I mean, why does voting have to be positive anyhow? You know, you're voting against. Yes. You're voting no.
Yes,
no?
Exactly.
Exactly.
What's all this business about, like, oh, you know, it's not good to vote against Bush. Fuck that. It's great to vote against Bush. That's all we have.
It was great to heckle his people today. It was really, really fun. They really... Oh, but then, I mean, I was telling Todd, and I didn't tell you, I stopped at the Sheraton on the way downtown, which is like a... You know, one of the really, like, delegate filled hotels, and they were stepping outside to smoke, and I got to engage some delegates one on one out front for like a minute or two before the police told me I was making a scene and led me away. But it was really great, and I would recommend it to anyone out there. I would recommend both going to the detention center, like end of 15th Street on the west side. Check it out. Wave at the protesters as they're being driven downtown to central booking. I mean, I think that's going to keep going on for a while. And definitely check out the Sheraton. Like, I don't know. There were no barricades there. It was a place where there really was an opportunity to engage the delegates for at least a minute. And if you're lucky, you won't get arrested. I didn't. Hey, and
bring a cigarette lighter and...
Oh, right. Light them up. That would be great. Yeah, I mean, if anybody can get arrested, I can, and I didn't, so... well, not today.
How many times have you been arrested? You don't have to answer that.
I'm thinking a half a dozen for sure.
Wow. That's impressive.
But all for drug possession. I mean, this was my first political arrest. Yeah. I mean, never for anything else. Never for anything as violent as disorderly conduct with which I was charged this time. So it's just straight up drug possession.
I've only been arrested once.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's. I don't know what it is about me. I mean, I think that my behavior wouldn't. There's nothing about my behavior. I don't think. I mean, maybe I'm crazier than I think, but I don't think there's much about my behavior that would have But I mean, I know other folks who are the same, who've only been arrested, you know, who've been arrested many fewer times.
Todd, have you ever been arrested?
Yeah, I was arrested the week before the Tompkins Square police riot for having a beer in a paper bag. And they were like,
that's bad.
Getting ready to enforce the curfew in the neighborhood, so they were starting this big crackdown. You know, I'd offered to pour it out and stuff, and now I was running through the system.
I think it was the paper bag they were most concerned about. You could have killed somebody with that.
Yeah, I mean, drinking a beer, man.
And
I just read a great article in the Times, the terrible Times, about how Russians are getting into beer, like they're, especially Russian, you know, Russian youth is like kind of giving up vodka a little bit, but the authorities are concerned because people drink, you know, it's legal to drink in public and people are drinking beer all over the place, whereas they didn't really drink vodka in public. That was more of a go home and get fucked up type of a thing, whereas now it's more of a, you know, beer is leading to a hangout in public, getting fucked up culture.
Well, what happened to the inhaler, the alcohol inhaler?
I wonder. That was a really good news flash.
Yeah, that was like last week. All of a sudden, there were alcohol inhaler devices at some bar in the city.
And every local government was trying to ban them.
Right.
Like, but like one snort was like $15. So I was like,
you better get fucked up.
Yeah.
That's like a hit of ecstasy, man. No, probably ecstasy's more than that. Who, I would never know. I ate it once just as it was becoming illegal in Oregon, like back in 1980, way back in 1983 or something like that. Since then, I've been satisfied to look at other people taking ecstasy and know that I didn't want to be like that. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I'm such a drug enthusiast, but something about ecstasy always made my skin crawl, or people on ecstasy.
You're not a big hugger.
I'm not a big hugger. But I'll put up with it. I'll do a hug. Like, I don't know. But yeah, there you go. That's probably it. I'm not a big drooler either.
Does ecstasy cause drooling?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's why they use the pacifier. Like, keeps your mouth shut and then you don't drool.
You live and learn. That's what the pacifiers are all about. That's what the whole pacifier thing is all about.
It's about keeping the Santorum inside you.
Not the Santorum.
No, the drool.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't. That's like, that was another revelation, on-air revelation on the WFMU webcast tonight.
Yes, we're learning quite a bit. I've learned what the whole pacifier craze is all about. We've learned what Santorum is.
Yeah. I don't know. Should we hear a political children's story?
Sure.
And call it a night? That seems like seems possible.
And put on the Flaming Robot of Love.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Flaming Robot of Love.
And then Tamar is coming on.
Tamar's on at 8 tomorrow morning.
At 8 in the morning, we go back to live webcasting here on the RNC Remix at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Tamar came back from vacation, and she looked around her apartment, and she said, holy shit, I have to be part of this stream. I've got too many records that I'm never going to get a chance to play otherwise. Sure enough, she found an hour, 8 to 9 tomorrow morning. The robot will be happy to make way. Okay, yeah, this is the WFMU RNC web stream. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for sitting down. Thanks for getting cosmic with me.
So the train's really on the quarter hour?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to try to get the quarter two.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, whatever. This is The Bear That Wasn't. I played this once before on my own Friday night show. It's Keenan Wynn reading a Frank Tashlin story called The Bear That Wasn't. And yeah, if you pay attention, you'll notice that it has something of a capitalism is bad kind of a thing to it, kind of a Yeah. Communism is good. And capitalism is bad. Well, whatever.
Once upon a time, in fact, it was on a Tuesday, I was taking a stroll through the forest, just strolling along, when suddenly I heard something was coming through the trees. I didn't know what it was until I saw... Oh, it was a bear. Just a slow-moving, ordinary bear. He was a very nice-looking bear, as bears go. His fur was brown and fuzzy all over, just like a teddy bear. Except, of course, he was much larger than a teddy bear, and I don't think his name was Teddy. Well, anyway, he walked over to the edge of the forest and stopped. And then he looked up at the sky, and away up high he saw a flock of geese flying south. And then he looked up at the trees, and the leaves had turned all yellow and brown and were falling from the branches. Now he knew that when the geese flew south and the leaves fell from the trees, that winter would soon be here and snow would cover everything. So he started walking back into the forest. It was time for him to go into his cave and hibernate.
And that was just what he did. The bear was soon fast asleep and dreaming sweet dreams, just like all bears do.
Not long afterward, in fact, it was on a Wednesday, lots of men came into the forest with steam shovels and axes and saws and tractors. The men started to saw and chop down all the trees. Timber! The tractors pulled the trees away, the steam shovels dug holes all over, and the men worked and worked and worked and worked, and finally they built a great big huge factory right over the top of the sleeping bear's cave. I wonder what will happen when our bear wakes up. The factory operated all through the cold winter, and then it was spring again. Yes, it was spring again. And the buds were budding, and the bees were being, and the brooks were brooking, and the bears were... Oh, yes, the bear. I almost forgot. Well, you know where the bear is, don't you? That's right. He's still fast asleep in the cave.
Deep down under the big factory. Then all of a sudden, the bear awoke
and yawned.
And he stretched one arm, and then the other, and started walking up the stairs to the entrance,
and stepped out into the bright spring sunshine. His eyes were only half opened, as he was still very tired and sleepy. But his eyes didn't stay half opened long. They suddenly popped wide apart. He looked around him. Where was the forest, the grass, the trees, the flowers?
What had happened? Everything was so strange. He didn't know where he was.
But we know where he is, don't we? Yes, indeed. He's right in the middle of the big, busy factory. Just then, a man dressed in overalls walked up to the puzzled bear and said...
Hey, you! I'm the foreman of this factory. You'd better get back to work.
Oh, I don't work here. I'm a bear.
That's a fine excuse for a man to keep from doing any work. Saying he's a bear.
But I am a bear.
Don't try to fool me. You are not a bear. You are a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat.
Oh, no, no, you're mistaken. I am a bear.
A bear? We'll see about that. I'm going to take you to the general manager.
And that's just what he did.
The general manager had a small office with one wastebasket and one telephone and one secretary.
Come in.
The general manager became very angry and said,
You're not a bear. You're a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you say that. You see, I am a bear.
We'll see about that. I'm going to take you to the third vice president.
Third vice president had a much larger office with two wastebaskets and two telephones and two secretaries.
Come in, come in.
The third vice president became very, very angry and said,
You're not a bear. You're a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat.
Oh, but that isn't true. I'm a bear. Just a plain, ordinary, everyday bear.
We'll see about that. I'm going to take you to the second vice president.
The second vice president had a much, much larger office with three wastebaskets and three telephones and three secretaries.
Come in, come in, come in.
The second vice president became very, very, very angry.
You're not a bear. You're a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat.
Who, me? Oh, how can you say that when I am a bear?
We'll see about that. I'm going to take you to the first vice president.
First vice president had a much, much, much larger office with four wastebaskets and four telephones and four secretaries.
Come in, come in, come in, come in.
The first vice president became very, 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 and very angry.
You're not a bear! You're a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat!
Oh, this is a dreadful error, you know, because ever since I can remember, I've always been a bear.
We'll see about that. I'm going to take you to the... president's office.
No, no, not that.
The president had a much, 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 much larger office. In fact, he had the muchiest, largest office in the whole world, with five wastebaskets
with tassels on them
and five telephones and five secretaries.
Come in, come in. Come in, come in. Come in, come in.
Come in.
Secretary, the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, past the five beautiful waste baskets with lovely tassels on them, to the huge desk of the president. The bear stood there a moment, and then...
pardon me, Mr. Factory President. I don't work here. Honest, I'm a bear. And please don't say I'm a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat.
The president in his big office, sitting in his big, big chair, behind his big, big, big desk, looked at the bear and then... The president spoke.
Thank you for telling me. I won't say what you said not to say, but that's just what I think you are.
But I'm a bear.
You can't be a bear. Bears are only in a zoo or circus. They're never inside a factory, and that's where you are, inside a factory. So how could you be a bear?
Well, I don't know, but I am a bear.
Not only are you a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat, but you are also very stubborn. So I'm going to prove it to you once and for all that you are not a bear.
I still think he's a bear, don't you? I wonder how they can prove that he isn't.
The president and the bear and all the others got into the president's big car and drove away from the factory to a big zoo with all kinds of animals. When they got there, they all walked over to the cage where the zoo bears were. The president tipped his hat politely to the bears in the cage and said,
"Good morning."
Then, pointing to the bear beside him, the president asked,
"Is he a bear?"
The zoo bears in the cage looked at the bear beside the president and said,
"No, he isn't a bear, because if he were a bear, he wouldn't be outside the cage with you. He would be inside the cage with us."
"But I am a bear."
Just then, a little baby zoo bear pointed at the bear outside the cage and said,
"I know what he is. He's a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat."
No, I am a bear. Honest, I am a bear.
And so they all got back into the president's car and left the zoo and drove 642.5 miles away to the nearest circus.
All right, step right up.
The circus bears were doing tricks in a large ring. The president tipped his hat politely to the circus bears and said,
"Good afternoon."
Then, pointing to the bear beside him, the president asked,
"Is he a bear?"
The circus bears in the ring looked at the bear beside the president and said,
"No, he isn't a bear, because if he were a bear, he wouldn't be sitting in a grandstand seat with you. He would be wearing a little hat with a striped ribbon on it, holding on to a balloon and riding a bicycle with us."
But I am a bear.
Just then,
A little baby circus bear rode up on a big bicycle, and pointing at the bear in the grandstand seat, he said,
"Oh, I know what he is. He's a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat."
All the circus bears almost fell off their bicycles laughing.
"Oh, but I am a bear. Believe me, I am."
And so they put the bear into the president's car and drove him away from the circus and back to the factory. Standing before a great big important machine, the president told the first vice president, who told the second vice president, who told the third vice president, who told the general manager, who told the foreman, who told the bear to...
"Get to work!"
"Yes, sir." The bear went to work on a great big important machine with a lot of other men. The machine had lots of great big important buttons and levers and wheels and gears and cranks. All day Monday, the bear pushed buttons. All day Tuesday, the bear pulled levers. All day Wednesday, the bear turned wheels. All day Thursday, the bear turned gears. All day Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the bear crank, crank. Push, pull, turn, shift, crank, crank. Push, pull, turn, shift, crank, crank. Day and night, buttons, buttons, night and day, levers, levers, day and night, wheels, wheels, night and day, gears, gears, seconds, minutes, hours, days, cranks, 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 cranks. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. On all these days, the bear pushed buttons, pulled levers, turned wheels, shifted gears, cranked cranks, pushed buttons, pulled levers, turned wheels, shifted gears, cranked cranks, cranks. And then, one day... the factory closed down and all the workers left and went away. The bear walked out of the factory. He was all alone and he had no place to go. And as he walked along, he came to another forest and he happened to gaze up at the sky. And away up high, he saw a flock of geese flying south. Then he looked up at the trees. And the leaves had turned all yellow and brown and were falling from the branches. The bear knew that when the geese flew south and the leaves fell from the trees, that winter would soon be here and snow would cover everything. It was time to go into a cave and hibernate. The bear walked over to a large cave. He was just about to step into the cave when he stopped.
"But I can't go into a cave and hibernate. Not a bear. I'm a silly man who needs a shave and wears a fur coat. I'll just have to stay outside and freeze in the snow."
So, winter came. The winds blew, the snow fell, it covered the forest, and it covered the bear as he sat in the open, shivering with cold. "Oh, I'm a man, but I sure wish I was a bear." The longer he sat in the snow, the colder he became. His toes were freezing. And his ears were tingling, and his teeth were chattering. Icicles covered his nose and chin. And he just sat there because he didn't know what a silly man who needed a shave and wore a fur coat would do if he were freezing in the snow. He had been told he was a man so often that he felt that it must be true. He sat there all alone, remembering what had happened.
"Hey,
That's a fine excuse for a man to keep from doing any work.
A man saying he's a bear.
You're a silly man. You're not a bear.
I'm going to take you to the president.
Of course you're a man.
The cage with us.
Bears are only in a circus.
If he was a bear, he'd be riding a bicycle with us.
I guess the poor bear is really convinced he is a man. If he stays out in that terrible storm much longer, he'll surely...
Oh, gosh! I hate to think of it.
Wait. Something's happening. The bear's standing up. He's shaking the snow off him. He's starting to walk toward the cave. He's approaching the cave. He's standing right at the entrance. Will he go in? He's thinking. He's looking around. Now he's scratching his head. It looks like... Yes, it looks like... He's going in! He's going in! The big brown fuzzy bear has gone into the cave!
Inside it was cozy and snug. The icy wind and cold, cold snow can't reach him here. He feels warm all over. He's lying down on a soft bed of pine boughs. And now he's happily asleep. And dreaming sweet dreams, just like all bears do when they hibernate.
So, even though the foreman and the general manager and the third vice president and the second vice president and the first vice president and the president and the zoo bears and the circus bears had said he was a silly man who needed a shave and wore a fur coat, I don't think he really believed it, do you? No, indeed. He finally realized he wasn't a silly man, and he wasn't a silly bear either. And that is the story of the bear. And the bear and the men. And the bear and the men and the factory. And the bear and the men and the factory and the zoo. And the bear and the men and the factory and the zoo and the circus. But mostly it was the story of a bear. A great, big, brown, fuzzy bear who looked like a teddy bear, except, of course, his name wasn't Teddy. Say, I wonder what his name was.
Excuse me. Hi there, folks. Cosmic Cowboy here. We're pretty much winding up this episode of Web Only, 40 Ounce and a Turntable. Not even sure it was that. I mean, Didn't play the theme song, did we? Can it be an episode of 40 Ounces on the Turntable without the theme song? I suppose it probably could. So that was nice to have Ken and Todd in the studio tonight. That's been one of the pleasures of this web-only casting that we've been doing. So it's really kind of just it's been pretty loose. And it's just really nice. Whoever you know, in many cases, folks who just happen to be around happen to wind up on the air. Well, that's kind of nice. I mean, that happens in the regular plain old WFMU studios too. But it seems like it's been happening an awful lot this week. And That's just fun. So, Cosmic Ken, how about that? First time ever. We just heard The Bear That Wasn't, a really great story by Frank Tashlin, read by Keenan Wynn. If you're listening to, I mean, this, then you probably know something about the WFMU, like sub page for the RNC stream. There's a link there for a page of related links that are really worth checking out. New York City Indie Media, INDY Media, has been doing really, really amazing stuff. I mean, also linked from the Independent Media Center. I believe, actually, you know what? Both of them are up on the WFMU RNC page, links page. Worth checking out. A lot of up-to-date information about the protests and a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of live sound from the street and all sorts of stuff, a lot of articles and reports. Really, really great. Yeah, well, I'm pretty much running out of steam. I mean, it's no wonder. I've been not getting very much sleep, and you can probably tell. And so that's going to be the end of this episode of 40 Ounces on the Turntable. We're actually going to hear a little bit of Fireside Theater, and then we're going to hand it over to the Flaming Robot of Love, who's well-equipped with a really extraordinary library of music to be playing through. And he's a robot, I mean, but you know, he's a programmed robot. He's not just throwing it out there straight up random. There's a bit of a mix to it, and a bit of a method to this robotics. In case you were wondering, there's all sorts of more amazing programming coming up on the WFMU webstream tomorrow, starting with Tamar, who's going to be in from 8 to 9 in the morning. Is it Ken after that? I'm afraid I'm really. I know tomorrow night's the big audio remix. There we go. Let's just run right through it. Okay. Tomorrow, 9 to noon, Trouble, DJ Trouble, with the International Smackdown. She's got Clement Ferron, lead singer of the Francophilia Les Sans-Culottes. They're going to eat freedom fries and sip on La Coca-Cola, and they're going to roast the NRC, RNC. Anarchists Unite. Right on. Noon to 2, Kenzo, Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Bunch of stuff. Noon to 2. Beautiful Terror, Children's Television, Boat Shop, The Wizard of War, and The Great Communicator, all between noon and 2 tomorrow from Kenzo. There we go. 2 to 5, David Cross is going to be Ken's guest on FCC Unfriendly Discussion of Music, Comedy, and Politics. You have to be looking forward to that. 2 to 5 tomorrow, David Cross with Ken. 6 to 7, Texas Miracle with Steve Crincy. Um, I'll read. The president and his marauding gang of bandits have been trying for the past 4 years to export to the entire country the policies that W. used as governor of Texas. Tax breaks for the rich, corporate favoritism, privatization, sleazy politics, and more. Steve Krinsky talks to some of the people who stood up to the Republican assault with some cool Texas music thrown in. 7 to 8. GOP dirty tricks. The felons list with Doug Shulkin and Jesse Allen. Florida is one of just a handful of states that permanently disenfranchises anyone convicted of a felony. Some say this law, enacted during Reconstruction when freed slaves first got the right to vote, disproportionately affects the African-American community and could help determine the outcome of the coming presidential election. For an in-depth analysis of Florida's problematic law and its looming implications, we turn to voting rights expert Jesse Allen, an associate counsel for the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. Allen is lead attorney in a major federal voting and civil rights suit challenging Florida's permanent voting ban for felons. That's 7 to 8 tomorrow night. I mean, that's pretty meaty. That's going to be really awesome. Bound to be astonishing. And then the alternative coronation, 8 to 11. Dave Spaz is preempted on the 91.1, and, whatever, the web stream is what it is, and it's going to be on that, too. So that's all coming up tomorrow. So much to listen to on the web. On WFMU. I've been the Cosmic Cowboy, WFMU on the web. Let's take it out with a little bit of Fire Sign Theater, and then I'll hand it over to the Flaming Robot of Love. Have a good night, and please stay tuned.
And what was the word?
Hot dog!
Hot dog, yes, dear friends! A mighty hot dog is our Lord. I'm not talking about hate. No, I'm talking about 8. Dinner at 8. Let's eat!
More sugar!
Ah, the glories of food. The communication of communion. Ethel and Rosenberg are passing among you now with the plates. I want you to...
Must be 4 o'clock in the morning. I sure am hungry. Some cookies, glass of green maraschino cherries, half a jar of mayonnaise. Oh, that's my mescal. Laughing cow cheese. Oh, Jesus. Why is my mouth dry?
I'm so hungry.
There's nothing to eat here.
Surrounded by a thin, thin, thin 16-millimeter shell. And inside, it's delicious.
I'll bet.
That's Arnie's whole beef halves we deliver. Thirsty?
That's me.
Wouldn't you like some of this old Filipino creamy coming in shorts and quarts?
Yeah.
And tubs of slaw.
Give me two.
Sorry, only one tub per family. That's whole beef halves we deliver everywhere. Offer not good after curfew in sectors R or M.
They never come up into the hills, guys.
This is the Hour of the Wolf news. Big light in skies later to appear in East. Sonic booms scare minority groups in Sector B. And there's hamburger all over the highway in Mystic, Connecticut.
Good morning. Those are the headlines. Now the rumors behind the news. Here in a satellite report, bounced from Compton 3 is reporter Felix Paparazzi.
Let's see. Deal. Ocelots. Poppers. Pike nipples. Palumbras. Pizzas. Armenian Gardens, Tanks Juggernaut, Leviathan, Nick Swell. This is George Tirebiter, Camden N 200R. I want to order pizza to go and no anchovies.
I might add, it
What?
Oh, man, nobody will come up here at all.
Curious, Dr. General. Oh, not curious. It's a matter of personal taste.
Adam, 1-3's incipient negritude will come as a pleasant surprise to his honorary aquarium parents, Ralph Bunch and Ida Lupino.
Yeah, I'll bet it will.
In other news, final steps was taken in or near Washington to secure the merger of the U.S. government with TMZ General Corp.
Enough.
This former zinc bushing...
Come on up here if you want to eat. Come on up, darling. Don't be afraid.
Oh, that's weird.
I won't bite you.
Weird. Too much.
Is it too much, Fred? Pull the curtain, Fred. Look at this. Look at this steaming heap. Too much of admirable birds, crunchy bound French fried chicken fingers. Too many cuts of Mother Baker's deep dish sheep dip cherry stone pie. Too many.
Really looks good. Oh, no, no, man. I want more.
Then
more.
Take some, friends. Then dip deep, darlings. Take some hot buttered grub clusters.
Okay, man. You've been talking a lot. Hand them over here.
Here you are.
What? Oh, well. Oh, my God, you're still warm.
Hey, thank you,
they're
friend.
Covered with. Thank you. This is amazing.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
With your mouth full, I'll talk to you. Eat.
Okay, I'm eating.
And
I'm eating.
While you eat, be assured, dear friends, that one of the two greatest guys in the universe, that great guy upstairs,
thank
is
you.
Thanking me.
Thank you.
As you are thanking me.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't that change your heart, friends?
Don't certainly
you
does.
Feel your heart.
Oh, I can feel it.
Can you feel a change? Are you full? Don't you feel the changes, dear?
Oh, right on, Dale.
Are you changing,
I am
changing with the times, so let's meet him.
Well, Jerry, our next famous fall guy is still putting his art in cans from Canada to Kashmir. Winner of the Academy's coveted Good Sport Award in 1956 for Excellence in Hollywood, meet George LeRoy Tirebiter.
Hubba, hubba, George. What a suit. Well, it's nice to see you looking like you're back on your feet again, George, and ready to play our little game again.
Thank you very much.
George, first a tip for our viewers, maybe. How does an old man like you stay alive?
Well, sir, I try to get up every morning and watch television all day, Mr.
Do you have a special diet, George?
I don't eat.
You don't eat?
No, but it hasn't affected my appetite.
Well, George...
you don't have any little grote clusters I can chew on, maybe, do you?
Later, George. You won't want to eat in a minute after you turn your back and get ready for this stab from the past.
Oh, my.
All right, George. Now, you remember all those lovable, stupid, Porgy and Mudhead movies you were responsible for?
My goodness, I haven't seen any of those in
years.
Well,
Georgie, what are you going to do when the original Bottles, Mudhead's crazy hopped-up girlfriend, drops right through that celebrity trap door?
Oh, no, that woman's trying to kill me.
Let's talk about your car. It's screaming, wash me, please. Now, if you're a Mr. Common Sense, you won't believe me when I tell you that I've got an envelope that'll clean your car while you're driving at home to work. Well, George, believe me, this time, because this one isn't like the Austrian self-sharpening razors. No, friends, no overheating like with the tropical fishes. No zizzing and dripping like with the dike.
I don't want it anymore, Dr. Gunderson.
Don't want what, child?
My coffee. The warden says he's tired of my coffee.
Well, it's been pretty clear that your coffee don't got zest appeal.
Zest appeal? What's that?
I don't know.
Oh.
That's the secret ingredient in Air's Hot Brothers coffee. Yeah, look here. A blend of the finest Brazilian soya beans, Chilean chicory nuts, and Spanish flies.
Oh.
Here, take this can home with you, Katie.
The next morning...
Maura, coffee warden.
Oh, I think I've had enough.
Ersatz Brothers Coffee, the real one. Look for the can in the plain brown can.
I'd in any way want to put myself into a confrontatory position, either with the United Snakes or with them. And you can believe me, because I never lie, and I'm always right. So wake up and take a look at your only logical choice. Me, George Tirebiter.
Paid for by the Tirebiter for Political Solutions Committee, Sector R.
This is you, TV. For you, the viewer.
The Howl of the Wolf movie. presenting honest stories of working people as told by rich Hollywood stars.
This morning's wacky feature, Porgy and Mudhead in High School Madness, with Dave Kasman as Porgy and Joe Bertman as Mudhead.
Porgy, tire biter, he's a spy and a girl delighter. Porgy, firefighter, he's a student like you. If you're looking for a captain of the ring ball team, you can bet he won't be there. You'll find him popping off at Pop Sodium Shop to trim a red with red hair. Doobie-doo-wah, Porgy, tire biter, just a student like you.
Like me?
Just a student like you.
Stop singing and finish your homework.
Just a student like you.
Adolf, come and get it. Your clam cakes are getting damp.
10-4, Eleanor.
Whew. Defoliating a victory garden certainly works up an appetite.
You sit down, Father, and dig right in.
That's right. This afternoon, I'll be able to start digging the pit. If I can get some work out of that boy of yours, I can have the bunker finished by election day. Where is Porgy, anyway?
He's up in his room, helping Porcelain make the bed.
Oh, Porgy! Oh, my! Porgy! Porgy, tell you about
it! He's coming, Mother!
He's so good with the servants, Fred.
Stop calling me Fred. My name's Adolf.
Oh, bombs away, Dad. Morning, Mom.
Morning, sir.
Oh, hot dog! Road cakes again. Heavy on the 30-weight, Mom.
Don't eat with your hands, son. Use your entrenching tool.
Oh, gee, Dad, I'm just trying to save time. It isn't every day a guy graduates from high school.
How many times have I heard that before?
Well, you boys fight it out among yourselves.
Okay, Mother.
I've got to dress for my bridge club.
Gee, Mom, isn't that bridge built yet?
No, son. And it won't be until free hands on both sides of the big ditch can press the same button at the same time.
Okay, Dad, I give. Oh, boy, can I eat my breakfast now?
Only if you stay out of trouble, boy. Your shenanigans could cost me this election.
Well, come on, Dad. No Irishman can stop you from getting to be dog killer this time. You're a natural.
Don't wolf your food.
Oh, there's Mudhead. Graduation, here I come.
So long, Dad. Keep flying.
Oh, that son of mine.
He's not your son, Fred.
Stop torturing me, Ethel.
Come on, step on it, Mudhead.
Oh, I'd love to, Porgy, but I got my two toes through the floorboard already.
Well, okay, then we could take the shortcut through Frogtown.
All right, we could stop off at Pop's and dig some jugs.
Some what?
Oh, that Louise Wong's got a balcony you could do Shakespeare from.
Aw, not now, Mudhead. They need me at the last meeting of the Philatelist Club.
I didn't know you masturbated.
Aw, creepies, Mudhead. Where's your school spirit?
That's in the rumble seat. You want to snort?
Oh, very funny.
Sure is.
Gee, everybody at Moore Science High is an extracurricular activity but you.
Well, doesn't Louise count?
Only to 10, Mudhead. You know, that's just it.
Just what?
Well, we're the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's today.
Well, yeah, but what are you going to do tomorrow after we graduate?
Oh, well, I thought maybe I'd go out and find a bunch of guys who dress alike and follow them around.
What?
Or I could go pick up a couple of girls.
Oh, is that all you think about, picking up things?
Yeah.
Golly, Mudhead. Don't you remember what Principal Boo put down at the pep rally yesterday?
Principal Boo?
P-E-P-E-P.
Thank you, fellow kids.
Quiet.
In addressing for the assembly this morning, thank you. I am recalling the words of the founder of Moore Science High School, Yucaipa Heap, who pressed the first bricks with his own hands. Knowledge for the people, he said. Give them a light, and they'll follow it anywhere. We think that is a fair and a wise guy rule to be guided by.
What is reality?
And we're not afraid of it, are we?
Eat it!
You bet.
Eat it raw!
Raw, raw, raw. That's the spirits we have here. Okay, so come on, kids. Line up, sign up, and re-enlist today. Because we need more schooling, for more students, for more science high. Thank you. Fuck you, too.
So you see, Mudhead, it's like the pooper said. With counter-subversive educational priorities the way they are, well, it really helps our side to re-enlist.
Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, hell no. Right after I graduate, I'm going to cut the soles off my shoes, sit in a tree, and learn to play the flute.
Hey, look, Porgy!
Watch it!
Where are you going to graduate from?
Holy Mudhead Mackerel! More science high! It's disappeared!
This is side five. Follow in your book and repeat after me as we learn three new words in Turkish. Towel. Bath. Border. May I see your passport, please?
Yes, I have it right here.
Yeah, look at this.
Well, this photograph doesn't look a bit like you now, does it, sir?
Well, it's an old picture.
Precisely.
Is there anything wrong?
No. Would you mind waiting over there, sir?
Oh, just leave your bags. But my passport...
Next, please.
Information. May I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to know...
Not where... for 12 hours. You'll be informed at your hotel.
Yes,
Would
but...
you like to send a wire?
Well, yes, I guess I'd better.
One moment, please.
All right, sir. Do you want this to be a night letter, regular, or guaranteed delivery?
Which is fastest?
At this time of day, they all receive equal attention, depending, of course, on the zone involved. Which zone was that, sir?
I'm sending it overseas.
No, please, the zone. Look at the map.
Oh, well, then I suppose it would be...
I beg your pardon, sir, but is this your bar of soap?
Well, I suppose it is.
So do we. All right, sir, your telegram has been sent. You will be receiving it in about an hour. Guaranteed delivery. That'll be 275, sir, no tax.
Well, I haven't had a chance to change my money yet.
Just a moment, sir. Is this your bag?
No, it's not.
Check it again. Do take your time, sir.
This is definitely not my bag.
Just as we thought. Sign here, please. And here. And here. And here. And here. And here. And here. Thank you, sir.
We've sent your bags on ahead, sir. Where is it you're staying?
What's the best hotel in town?
Of course! Taxi! The taxis, they are all on strike. And it's too early for the bus. You really are a problem, sir. I suppose we'll have to put you up.
Going up! Скажите, товарищу, как вы подумаете о нашем городе?
Oh, excuse me, but my friend would like to know how much you enjoy our city so far.
Actually, I haven't been here too long.
Я pas été beaucoup dans ici.
Ну, рассказывайте мне, да или нет.
Oh, he want to know yes or no.
Well, tell him yes. It's a beautiful city.
Не кричайте, я слышу.
He says he can shout, don't hear you. Have you seen the palace?
Not yet, but I certainly intend...
Oh, you must. It won't be here much longer, you know. They are cleaning it.
Он на единственный?
Are you alone?
Yes.
No. We are here with you.
Oh, I see what you mean. No.
Yes. How many are we?
Here? Three.
You don't want to count the elevator boy?
Yes.
Three or four?
Four.
But, of course, there's your family.
But they're not traveling with me.
Where?
Where I'm going.
But you're here.
How many?
Four. With the elevator boy.
Ah, he is in your family.
No, here.
And here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, our distinguished guest has just arrived. Have some champagne.
What do you mean?
Come this way. Gentlemen, port and cigars in the war room. Lord Kitchener will join us presently. Hurry along.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
Gentlemen, please. In these troubled times, besieged as we are on all fronts,
here.
There is but one man in whom we can place with complete assurance our faith, hope, and destiny.
There.
A man who has won more battles than he has fought.
Where?
A man who has the confidence of his people. Our generated, veneered leader, our own Fighting Jack, Lord Kitchener. Kitchener!
He knocked over the pitcher.
He's dead.
You'd better come with us.
We're no longer
safe here. Let's to the Winter Palace, quick.
Oh, it's the ice show.
Und jetzt von der Berliner Eispalast und Festspiel der Punishmen und Stets der Genackfischbrothers, Hans und Joni.
Taking.
We don't have much time, and there's a lot you have to know.
Now, listen carefully. If the revolution is to be successful...
Excuse me.
Wait, the revolutionary leadership...
No, I was talking about the codification. The codification is the central control.
Let me,
all right?
You mind?
All right, go ahead.
I
just want to talk about the expediency... According to the regulation...
Check. Right, everything has got to be done in this time.
You have to have the priority of rank.
Right.
Do you mind if I...
Go, go, go. Of course.
There is absolute security and necessity.
Got it.
All of its operations.
I'll take it from here. Follow me. Right, Chief.
Gentlemen, I won't take any more credit for this victory than necessary. Lord Kitchener did not, nay, will not die in vain, grid willing. Gentlemen, I as leader will use power like a drum and leadership like a violin. Pick out any idea. Compare ideas with the one idea left, you have no doubt, and without a doubt, we have enthusiasm.
Gentlemen,
to make life hold. It's as easy as a bridge. Now, gentlemen, now that we have attained control, we must pull together as one, like a twin, keeping the prophecy of power as enthusiasm. All for one!
All for one!
And all for one!
And all!
Why, it will be pleasant to have you here. I've not had any company in this dank and dismal cell for 40 long and miserable years. I was imprisoned by a faceless people for a crime of which I had no knowledge and certainly did not commit, but what of that? In me spare time, I have been pursuing me hobby, which is writing a great prison novel. In the beginning, I wrote with an ink composed of parts of me own blood. However, this would not make an acceptable carbon, so I acquired an electric typewriter. I am proud to be able to present you with the first edition of me saga of eternal torment, profusely illustrated, titled Leather Thighs.
Guard! Guard! I want to see my ambassador.
Easily done. He's in the next cell.
Use the telephone.
I don't have a dime.
Here, use one of the pages of me novel.
It's no good. They're tapping the lines. If I could only speak to someone, if I could only tell my story.
Famous writer to see the condemned man.
Oh, you poor brute of a killer without a conscience. I'm wet with compassion.
Excuse me, but it's always a pleasure to meet another member of the writing fraternity. Perhaps you would like to hear an excerpt from a great prison novel of eternal torment in cold leather. Oh, God.
Hey, what's troubling you, son?
Padre, I'm tired of living and...
Old Man River.
Ribba!
Now give me that gun.
I don't have a gun, Father.
Here, have one of mine.
I'm not afraid of justice. I know these bars are here for a good reason. Prisons are for the guilty!
String him up!
Anybody got me stringed?
He's just like the kid!
No, don't you guys see? The system is here for your protection. I'm not afraid. All I want is a chance to clear my name. Look, we live and operate under the due process of law. The innocent have nothing to fear. Only the guilty will suffer.
Lynch him!
Anybody got any lynch?
He even looks like the kid.
Look, it's this simple. I'll get a hearing and a trial. I'm willing to place my fate and faith in the hands of justice.
Just burn the kid.
Mother? Mama? Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I will. Mama, I'll be good. Mama, I just want to get out.
Hey, Mame. You think he's going to make it?
I don't know. He looks pretty sick to me. Hey. I think he's coming around.
He's coming around, folks. He's gonna be okay and ready to play Symptom 6 of Beat the Reaper.
Last week, our patient successfully survived the common cold, measles, pneumonia, dengue fever, and the yaws.
And now, the big question. Are you ready to go on?
What? Where?
He's ready!
Now, our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Can you hear me in there? Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper!
I'm shaking feverish. My hands are all... yellow, my God, I've got jaundice.
Jaundice it is! Give it me! Symptom 6. And now you've reached the final threshold. Here's the question. Are you ready for symptom number 7? Longer than any patient has ever survived before.
I want to go home.
Only one way to do that. Doctor, bring in the super shot.
Now, for the first time on Beat the Reaper, we're going for the big disease. The icebox is being unlocked by the president of the Armenian Medical Association, under whose strict supervision these toxins are being administered.
This is it. Doctor, give him that really big disease. Now, patient, can you hear me? You've got 10 seconds to tell us what you've got. And for the last time, Beat the Reaper!
I think I feel... I don't know, whatever... Whatever it is, I want to die.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. That's not correct. You didn't beat the Reaper. Doctor, bring the patient out and show the amphitheater audience and all the folks at home just what he's contracted.
According to my careful prosthesis, this man has the plague.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
You've got the plague. Well, isn't he a good sport, folks? We'll be back in just a moment with our next patient, but first...
Taxi, buddy.
Thank God.
Where to, Mac?
Out.
Sure thing. I'll take you to the border. I'm going to have to cut through the park.
Is that the fastest way?
No, it ain't, but the plague's got the streets all tied up.
Well, just do the best you can.
Sure thing.
Hey, are those my bags?
Oh, yeah. We've been watching you every step of the way, but we ain't had a chance to contact you till now.
You mean...
Sure. What do you mean?
Well, I mean...
Listen, buddy, let me give you a piece of advice. What you don't mean won't hurt you. Mind if I turn on the radio?
In a massive traffic tie-up, as the death rate continues to soar. Now, let's go to the river's edge and Charles B. Smith.
Ed, it's an amazing scene here. Like lemmings, the crowds are waiting on the shore, torches blazing as the long line of shrouded funeral rafts drift lazily into view, great black candles flickering at helm and stern. The excitement is contagious, and so are the Black Cross volunteers as they pass from family to family, pausing now and again to touch a child's head. I wish I could, but I can't. So long.
Thank you, Charles. And now here's another feature in our continuing report on the...
Hey, Mac, would you turn it
off
for?
How close are we to the border?
Well, at this rate...
Uh-oh, I think they spotted you.
I want to die!
Can't we go any faster?
There's too many of them.
What can we do?
I don't know. Throw him your coat.
On to me! On to me!
Here's the border up ahead.
Thank God.
No, not yet. We'll never make it through that crowd at the gate unless you do exactly what I say. Take off all your clothes.
What?
Come on, buddy. Take them off.
Right.
I know, but when I give the signal, toss them out, and I'll drive this heap right through the barrier. Ready?
Yes, that's everything.
Okay. Here we go.
Over here. This way. That's it. You've made it. Welcome to side 6. Follow in your book and repeat after me as we learn our next 3 words in Turkish. Coffee. Delight. Border. May I see
your passport, please?
Hey, how about that? That's pretty much the end, and I'm not even cosmic anymore. Thanks very much for listening. Oh, I got to get this in. How many pigs does it take to guard a delegate to the National Republican Convention in New York? I've been asking people that all day, and no one's given me a good punchline yet, but I figured after all the comedy I played tonight and a whole bunch of Fireside Theater there that maybe Maybe someone will, you can email me, cowboy@wfmu.org, and I'll tell that joke again next week if you give me a good punchline. That's, how many pigs does it take to guard a delegate to the National Republican Convention in New York City? Now, that's going on now. We're going to switch over to the Flaming Robot of Love. Just kind of like, we're just going to bring that baby up, and he's going to take you through till 8 a.m. when tomorrow we'll be here with an hour of great radio, of course, and fantastic records, because, like myself, she's an avid collector, and often it's, you know, that's the motivation for the show, and I think in this case it was like, I have to play these records, I have to do this, so here she'll be, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Enjoy the Flaming Robot of Love, and sleep tight.